What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Fighter's Block. We're actually here with a really special episode today because usually this is a podcast where we talk about like MMA and boxing, and it's me and my co-host, Jesse Rivas. Today, Jesse's not with us, but I am joined by two of my jiu-jitsu teammates, and we're going to talk about the ADCC championships that are coming up. I'm joined by Phil Zierke. Say hello, Phil.
Hey, what's up, guys?
That's Phil. And then I'm also joined by Todd, Locor 11. How you doing, Todd?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good. Thank you for asking. And you guys, Phil's a black belt, Todd's a brown belt. You both really, really high level. Both are big fans of jiu-jitsu. And today we're just going to talk through some of the weight classes about what it's, they call it the Olympics of grappling. They're not allowed to market themselves like that anymore. But this is the biggest no-gi. You can cough on the mic. It's okay. We're not getting paid to do this. People tell me I act unprofessional. I remind them I'm not getting paid to do this. I am unprofessional. I am not a professional. But we're just guys who know a lot about jiu-jitsu, and we're going to talk through it. This is, I will be there live, which I'm very excited about. I'm flying out this weekend
Very jealous about.
Yeah, yeah, it's part of BJJ Fanatics. Well, I'm going to fucking catch pink eye, it turns out.
Yeah.
Man, this is like MRSA Central. It sounds, you know, it just sounds like, you know how there's like the Olympic Village for the Olympics, and it's like, oh man, just everybody's like
the giant
hooking up all the time. Yeah. Like, yeah, fucking nonstop. Like
ADCC.
ADCC is like that, but pink eye. Just like everybody's rolling their faces on each other.
Stay away from Keenan.
I blame body lock passing. People are getting too close to each other. It used to all be standing passes. That's to keep the funk off.
Get that over under pass. You don't know what you're
doing. Yeah, suddenly everybody's all up in there. Yeah. It's going to be really interesting, ADCC. I feel like 2017, we're still feeling the results for that.
There's a lot of grapplers from 2017 still relevant today.
And still really hungry, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Coming in as strong favorites to 2019.
So, man, let's talk about some of these weight classes. And if you're somebody who's listening to this, something I'm probably going to do is I'm going to go through and if you check the description of the episode, you'll be able to see a time code for like where we start talking about different weight classes. So if you just are like, oh, you know, I just want to go listen and talk about like Gordon or something in 99, then go to 99 and just listen to that. But we're going to go through everything. Guys, let's talk about 66 kilo. I feel like this is this a wide open weight or is this Paulo Miau's weight? Because I can't make up my mind. Either it's just Paulo Miau or there's like seven guys who can win it.
So it could go either way. I think it can go either way. I think Paulo could.
You have to stop talking for the black belt, please.
I think it can go either way. I think Paulo can really run through everyone. Or I think like Jamil Hill.
Last time he was bronze here, I think.
Right? Yeah, he lost to Cabrinho, which isn't, I mean, Everyone loses to Cabrinho.
Cabrinho is the ADCC guy.
He's kind of like Gavao in the sense that he's perfected the rules. His style really matches up well. Like, his wrestling has gotten so good the last couple of years that it was no shocker that he ran through everybody.
Definitely.
Whereas Paulo, you know, I don't know how good his wrestling is, right? Like, but is he willing to pull like he normally does and go for the sweep and go for points? You know, I think he could probably do that to everybody in the division.
That's what he did against Cabrinho.
He pulled, you know. You take the negative and he has success.
That's your gamble, right?
Yeah, like right. If you are so confident in your guard to do that, that he could, you know, he can win matches that way. But like people like Johnny Grippo, Jamil Hill, I'm curious to see how Kennedy does too.
Just who are the title contenders? Let's start with that. I know you're pulling for one guy in particular.
I gotta go for Mateus.
You gotta go for Mateus, right?
He's my boy.
He's your boy. Yeah, and we'll say that at the beginning. These are biased picks. Yeah, if you're making fucking financial decisions based off our picks.
Mateos spend 2 weeks in my house. We spend every waking moment.
He's a cool guy, right? Yeah. every waking moment. They're like in SNL, like where it's like the toilets are side by side, the couple's toilet.
Yeah, it was like that.
I've seen the size of your place.
He's a very hard worker, and I'm always pulling for him. So I definitely see
he's having an amazing year.
Yeah, this is a highlight year for him.
If not with a gold medal, I definitely see him on the podium. And Mateus, if you're listening, you are definitely the champ. So.
He's the guy that nobody's talking about in this whole weight
class. That's true.
Right?
Like,
for as hot a year as he's having, tapping Marcio Andre in the final.
He just got his black belt.
Just first year black belt, killing everybody, pan champ, world champ. He's still not getting any ADCC rub.
Yeah, well, the thing is, he got his black belt and he wasn't even...
He wasn't a black belt last ADC.
He wasn't able to compete as a black belt in IBJJF because he didn't meet the brown belt requirements.
Oh, really? Okay.
So his first competition was pans.
That's wild. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and he won. So now he's pans.
He had a really good match.
World championship.
Yeah.
And world champion IBJJF. So we'll see how he does at ADCC. He's cutting a lot of weight. And
how big of a guy is he walking around with him?
You know, he's about my weight, so really? Around 165, 170.
Okay.
So going to 160, yeah, that's a 66 big cut. Kilos is a big
cut. That's a big
jump.
Cut. Yeah, 66 yeah. kilos is around, it's in the high 140s.
I was gonna
it's
say like 145-ish.
He's a shorter guy and stockier, but and he can cut it. But, you know,
would you call him stocky? I think he's kind of, you know, he's
lean, but he's, I mean, we're about the same weight, so I'm skinnier, so I'm a little lanky, the guy.
He did have a great match with Jamil.
He did.
Jamil's a guy that, like, I don't know how well Jamil is going to do here. I think he's got underrated wrestling. I think his ankle pick, especially, he's the best guy in the world to me at countering the guard pull with like an ankle pick or something. Yeah. I don't like talking nicely about TLI guys, but I have to respect that. I respect the TLI is weird because I the team is what it is, but like a lot of the guys I do like.
Yeah.
And like I see him at all these tournaments. Yeah. They're super like cool.
Like Tim's, a really good, nice guy. Like, he's got a really sick.
Wasn't the one I was thinking of, but okay.
Well, Tim is a nice guy.
A lot of the lower belts I know a little better.
Okay. Yeah, but Jamil's a wizard, man. Like,
he's crazy, right?
Yeah. His lapel game is sick. I mean, he's the one that Heenan even gives him credit for coming up with Worm Guard or Gubber Guard maybe originally. It was one of the two.
Yeah, I've seen him in the back room fight to win with the Flash, and they were going over some lapel stuff I never seen before. I was blown away.
Yeah,
but yeah, I'm really excited to see if they match him and Mateos up.
That's the fight because their pan final was so razor close, could have gone either way. Mateos kept the focus right at the very end and got the win.
Yeah.
Knowing ADCC, that's one of those matchups that they've
made. Yeah, right. They love
first round.
ADCC, the matchmakers are messy bitches who love drama.
Oh, yeah.
And love posting like Marilyn Monroe quotes on their Instagram.
Well, they know what sells, right? Like, they see that, then
that's one
like,
of the biggest fights in jiu-jitsu to me is Mateos versus Jamil.
And it kind of goes under the radar just because of all the other. I mean, this ADCC could probably be one of the biggest
for
ones.
Many more years of those guys fighting.
Yeah.
Jamil has no real no-gi experience.
That's the thing.
He's
only
done.
I've only seen this fighter one, and that was it. And I don't know, you know, no offense to the guy, I don't know who he went against. So.
No, yeah, it was just some Korean guy. Yeah. I mean, you know, maybe the guy's amazing, but probably not world class.
Those TLI guys, they're always coming in with the heat.
Yeah.
They are. He's going to come super prepared, but, like, there is something to... That was a loud crack. That definitely caught on the mics. Yeah, we could just... This is turning into an ASMR experience. Man, I feel like people take one ADCC to get used to it. You know what I mean? It's really rare to have really strong debut.
Yeah.
Everybody usually, like, even like Boucher or somebody like that, like, their first time out, they had, because you never see the rules before. The rules change as the tournament goes on. You really only ever have to deal with this one tournament. And so it kind of takes, like, a cycle or two to, and I don't use that. It takes some time to get used to something like this. But weird story about Jamil. Last year's No-Gi Worlds, where TLI did really well. Tim Spriggs won a world championship. Yep. They had a bunch of guys do pretty well. Jamil did fight that day at a Naga that I was at. And he did No-Gi only.
Huh.
And it was like, why are you... Like, I didn't want to ask clearly. Like, maybe he was just injured or a little banged up or, like, had something else going on.
Felt
like
he could coast through
like
Naga.
He could coast through Naga. Or maybe... I know he was in school at the time, so maybe it was something like that. But, like... Man, go to world, like, you know, it's just so weird to see, like,
or the other.
Yeah, if you're, it's so weird to see a guy so good, like, competing the day of a world championship, but not at world championships,
at local,
you know what I mean? It's like, man, what's going on here? You know, it's just a weird thing.
So who else?
Gianni, I would point out as a potential medalist. I think he's a potential champion. I think he has some of the strongest wrestling in this division. He won Kasai, beat Paulo Miao in a very similar rule set to ADCC. He's the world champion in no-gi last year. He put out, I think, Marcio Andre. Somebody in the finals was beating him, and he came back to win.
Yes.
Maybe Marcio?
Yeah.
Somebody. And, you know, he had a good ADCC before in 2015, but he had a horrible no-gi pants. He lost to a really... unnamed black belt, like I think of like a debuting black belt, literally.
Okay. You got to give the guy credit. You know, he has a lot of good no-gi accomplishments, and just because one tournament,
I agree. But he also got taken down. He lost 2-0. Like, that's not what you want to see before a glorified wrestling tournament in a lot of ways.
Yes, this is
because he just did Kasai against Edwin Ashmi, right? He lost that one. Was that
did
him?
He lose to Edwin? No, he didn't fight Edwin. Somebody else fought Edwin. No, he didn't fight Edwin.
Because I know Edwin, he beat what, DJ Jackson?
Jamie, pull that up. I'm Jamie. I'm not going to pull that.
I'm not
up,
sure.
But,
Gianni's done really good
he's
at Kasai.
Tough, but like, man, you know, that's the thing. You have to put together at ADCC at least 3 elite wins, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe first round you see a trials winner, but like, you know, from the quarterfinals on, the quarterfinals we could see Jamil versus Mateus, you know, which is a world championship rematch.
Absolutely. Well, all these matches almost could be, you know, finals at any, you know, finals at any other tournament.
Yeah, it's a really exciting division. And you could spend the whole podcast talking about it. Really.
We can take it all the time we want. We're not trying to get paid for this.
And I think some other guys, I think too.
We're our own bosses.
Augusto Mendes, I think, has a really good style for it, but he's
done really well before. He's a medal here before.
I don't know. Bronze. How old is he?
Bronze, yeah.
Like, I don't know.
36.
Age is catching up to him, you know?
He's probably, I would say.
He kind of goes under the radar.
He's the strongest guy.
I'd agree to that.
Like in terms
he's like a little
of
fire
like,
hydrant, right? Yeah. He's kind of short, stocky.
Like for guys to like for if everybody in this division got on top in half guard, Augusto is the one guy who's like not getting off, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like he's just got that base.
He's got that old school jiu-jitsu, that very good power.
Yeah, straight up,
and which is very transportable for Nogi and a ADCC.
So I'm a BJJ Fanatics guy. We got to talk about Nicky Ryan.
Yeah, I think he's getting a lot of hype, and I think the smartest thing for him was to go back down to 66.
I agree 100%.
I thought that if he would have stayed at 77, I just think, you know, I think he's going to have physicality. It's going to be an issue at 66, but I thought he would have just, the man strength would have put him over at 77. And
I feel like they knew that too, walking in. I feel like they were kind of saying like, okay, we're going to have to punt on this ADCC to build him up for next
just
time.
Just use that experience.
He's not seeing 66 again.
He's young, man. Like, he's definitely going to grow into it.
He's got the same genes as his brother.
No, but he's not going to – if you look at the height, Gordon's frame naturally, and from what I understand, they have a lot of – some people in their family are really tall. Some are kind of on the shorter side. And Gordon is definitely on the taller side. And Nicky is definitely not as big.
Yeah.
Because by the time Gordon was this age, he was, like, winning brown belt worlds. Like, he already kind of was a deal.
They say Nicky Ryan's the next big thing, so I'm really excited to see how he does.
Man, he's so good with the leg locks. He's so good on the back.
Yeah.
But, like, where are the big wins? That's what I want out of Nicky. Like, he's beaten good lower-level guys, but, like, has he beaten anybody who's close to, like...
Because when was his match with... Who did he have a match with? Power or Joao?
One of them,
I because I know he lost him, but it was...
That's
it was,
where my Jamie fact-checking comes.
It was pretty dominant by the Meows that, like... Not in a submission way, but he definitely points them.
Yeah.
And had complete control the whole match.
It was Paulo Meow.
Man, okay. And Paulo's in this division. And so, yeah, man, it's like, you know, Nicky's so good, but, you know, Nicky is fighting guys like Faber, guys like Imanari. He's getting a lot of good experience. But, man, where are the elite wins? So he's going to have to put together, like, two or three wins better than we've ever seen him put together one.
Yeah.
And he can do that. He has the skill to do that. But at 18, man, you know, that's a lot.
You ask where his big wins are, you know, he's got a lot to prove in this division. You know, he's got a division full of big killer names. So we could see what he's got up his sleeve this time around.
I think the one thing that Nicky's better than probably anybody else in this division is using his systematic approach to attack lower and to attack upper, right? Like, so most guys, most leg lockers nowadays, they get so caught on the trend of just being stuck on the legs, right? Like, they'll die for legs the entire time versus Nicky's pretty good at using the legs to set up attacks to the upper body. You know, it's not just a tunnel vision attack.
Good. And professional of you to keep talking through that selfie that Todd was taking. So there's one guy left in this division that we definitely need to talk about, and that's Cobrinha Jr. Right, Kennedy, we haven't talked about him yet. His dad is an ADCC legend. His dad drops out of the spot.
For his son.
Which, by the way, that's because they were going to make him face off, like, first or second round.
Yeah, and teammates.
Can they fucking not, like, do that for, like, this one,
on,
like...
ADCC.
I remember...
We know what you're going
to do. I understand why they would rather have one over the other, right? Like, because I listened to the podcast with Mo talk about...
head motherfucker at ADCC.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. He's directing the one here in Los Angeles, right? And they said if Cabrini Sr. was in, then Junior can't be involved because, like...
It's too much of a...
You were saying, right?
Yeah.
They always meet
well,
the second
round. Well, they were hitting
round.
The finals, and I think the plan was if they could hit in the finals, and then Cabrini will forfeit to his son. Which, honestly, for nothing, like, I'm okay with that.
That's actually
like,
a pretty good strategy to get up to the podium.
I get it.
About it.
But yeah. I think they are trying to be unlike the IBJJF where they have closeouts.
Yes.
And I understand, right? Like, with the Olympics, you don't want to have a closeout.
No.
Yeah.
They had one at the World Championships. Not a closeout, but there was a guy injured. There's two guys in the finals. and both of them had to forfeit in the final. Or no, not the same weight class. There was two weight classes decided by forfeit this year at Wrestling Worlds. I don't know if I've ever seen like one. It just doesn't happen.
There's none that come to mind.
It's really, really bizarre.
In sport jiu-jitsu, we should see less of that. So it's a good thing, I guess.
Yeah. And also, the father-son thing makes it a little different to me.
Also, you know, having those two guys training in the same space at the same time, you know, you kind of want to, if you've got somebody to prepare for ADCC, you want to focus 100% of your attention on that.
That's also true.
So you got your dad.
You can't spread yourself thin, right?
Yeah, like, you got your dad guys coaching you and in your corner the whole time.
Not for nothing, Kennedy is a 2018 World No-Gi Champion. Wait, you said Mateus made his black belt debut at PANS. That's not true. He fought at No-Gi Worlds.
It might have been the Houston Open or something. He fought at No-Gi Worlds this year?
Yeah, because he fought Kennedy, and he was winning until the last minute, and he ended up getting rear naked choked.
Let me fact check. I know that for a while, Mateus was not allowed to compete as a black belt when he got.
That does happen. That definitely happens to a lot of people. And as these like lower belts are getting better and better, it's only going to happen more and more. The Tenaday thing, right? Like where it's just like, man, if you're blowing through everybody, if you win a world championship at blue belt, half the time you can win a world championship at purple belt. And if you win it at purple belt, sometimes you can win it turn right around at brown. Yeah. And how many guys, all the time we see brown belt world champions turn around and they're amazing black belts. Kanon, debut black belt, fucking beats Leandro Lowe this year.
Yeah,
we'll talk about him later. I think
Gordon Ryan, he got his black belt before the required time, but, you know, who gives a fuck it?
Yeah. It doesn't matter if you're doing super fights. Like, the only people who actually, you know.
Yeah. If you're just a guy, it's not a big deal. Yeah.
IBJF. But then another thing, too, about 66, there's literally only three teams representing all the people.
Like, almost half the bracket, right? By the way, Gio Martinez is around and he's super tough.
Yeah, I agree too. So like the 10th Planet guys, I don't know if they has he ever medaled?
No. I don't know if we've ever had a 10th Planet medalist.
No. He lost to Meow.
Which, not for nothing, the rubber guard's supposed to be so hot, but you have 10,000 students and zero champions at the black belt level. That's a little suspect.
Yeah.
If your system is so good.
They definitely have the numbers game though too, so.
They do.
Love talking about how great their system is though.
Man, fucking, you know. I see a lot more champions from, you know, a couple other places. Yeah. But you're talking about the team aspect.
Yeah, so they're going to get paired off rather quickly, right? Like, so it's going to knock, you know, if the Alliance guys win, you know, it's going to, some of them are going to have to lose in the second match.
There's three Alliance guys. So two of them are going to have to face off in the first round. The winner fights the other guy in the second round, assuming he wins, which he probably will. So it's from Alliance, Alvaranga, who's a brown belt, probably, you know.
I can see him being the Lambda Slaughter.
Yeah, he is. I mean, unfortunately. Gianni is also Alliance. Kennedy is Alliance.
Yeah.
That's a fucking tough second round.
That would be definitely, you know.
That's going to be a quarterfinal.
That could be a podium.
Those are two black belt world champions from last year.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And then, 10th Planet has Gio and Keith Krikorian. Sorry, Keith. 10th Planet literally puts out their own competitors' rankings, like in school. Like,
oh, do they really?
Yeah.
Like their own little inner hierarchy, non-earth.
Yeah, it would be like, yeah, because we all fight for the same academy. So it's like if we put out the academy's, like, here's our best guy in the room, here's our second best guy in the room.
Like they have like a pound for pound.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that weird? I don't like that.
You know what's
that
can cause some drama. About,
yeah, literally.
Planet, back in the day when I started competing in the jiu-jitsu circuit, the 10th Planet guys would wear gi pants. And, you know, back in the day, you would fight in the gi division before the no-gi division. So you'd see these guys in the gi pants with the no-gi pack, with the 10th Planet patches.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't fight in the gi division. And then, oh, no, it was the no-gi division first, and then you do the gi division after. So you lose to them in the no-gi, and they have the gi pants on, and you want to fight them in the gi, and then they leave, and they go home. It's like such a cock tease. It's like, I want to see what you got in the gi, and then... You don't get to fight him in the gi.
No.
And they're wearing these gi pants.
Man,
fuck Eddie Bravo.
I do a rubber guard with the lapel over. I use lapels with the rubber guard. It's really strong.
It's really
they should
good.
Do it. Yeah, it's really effective. Guys,
well, I think
you're missing out.
I think Eddie's idea of just focusing on no-gi is getting more popular. I think because
now
the game is getting more specialized, right? Like, no-gi guys who want to succeed in no-gi are going to have to end up just specializing in no-gi versus gi guys like Leandro. They're going to crush in gi, but, you know, they're having that hard time transferring over to no-gi now just because the game is getting so, you know, it evolves. So I think.
Also, ADCC is that big medal you want.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think
it's no-gi, the big paycheck you want.
Yeah, and no-gi is more transferable to MMA, which gets the big paychecks in, you know, combat sports these days. So.
And the big, like, following. Like, you know, exactly. If you're an MMA guy, you're going to have, if you're a mid-level Bellator guy, you have as many fans as like Leandro Love. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
yeah. Also, from Atos, three guys,
yep.
Pablo Mantovani, Ty Rotolo, who's only a high schooler, for as much as he goes to fucking school, probably. Yeah, I'm sure he's homeschooled.
They're probably homeschooled.
They are homeschooled.
That's true.
They are homeschooled, right? Yeah. And Bruno Fazzato is also in there. So probably Fazzato and Rotolo, first round, winner sees Pablo, which, I mean, you got to like Pablo coming out of that. And then, yeah, 10th Planet has Gio and Keith.
Yeah. I actually like Bruno Fazzato's game.
You like him?
He kind of gets slept on a lot.
He got silver medal in 2015.
Yeah, he's actually placed.
True.
Yeah. So he kind of slides on the radar, too.
I'm going to go down the rest of the guys. Feel free to pipe in if you have any. Bruno Frizzato, Pablo Mantovani, Keith Krikorian, Richard Alarcon, Ruan Alvarenga, Thomas Halpin, Kenta Iwamoto, and Ty Rotolo. That is your 66-kilogram division. Picks, what are we feeling? Who are we feeling in this?
As of
Todd, I feel like you're an easy one. It's difficult to pick gold, silver, bronze because you don't know the bracket. Like you might pick like a gold and silver that end up.
No, I understand that.
Who's three guys?
I would pick.
Give me your top three guys. If you got to like seed, if you got to make your prediction.
The way that ADCC does it, I wouldn't see Shane Jamil Hill Taylor in the final. I would see Gianni Grippo, Mateus, and Paul Mia all on the podium.
Man, give me Paulo. Give me Mateus. I was going to say Gianni. I was riding that Gianni train so hard. But after his performance at Nogi Pants, I'm going to switch that to Kennedy. I think him with the Cobrinha factor, I think that's going to matter, man.
I just haven't seen
the Cobrinhas know how to fucking win ADCC.
They do. Like, Cobrinha Sr. has definitely got, like, the game plan down. But I just haven't seen, I didn't get to see his performance at Pants.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how good his wrestling is.
No, he got his arm broken at Pants. It was really bad.
Gianni,
you're saying?
No, Nogi. The one that Kennedy beat Mateus at.
Oh, yeah. Mateus was doing really well, swept him.
No, I'm saying Kennedy. Was his wrestling good at that appearance?
It was just all guard pulling.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
See, I don't know how good. This is basically a wrestling tournament where submissions are allowed. So I am always going to favor the guys who have strong wrestling ability.
I dig it.
All
right,
so
and Todd, you went with Mateus and you're probably your top guy, right?
Yeah, I would say Mateus.
You better. I'm sending in this clip.
Mateus, Paulo, and Gianni Grippo.
There you go. And at the end of the day, and this is true for any of our picks, who fucking knows?
Paulo can lose first round.
Yeah. I mean, it happens all the time. How many people picked Leandro Lowe last time? And Craig Jones, everybody.
That's why Jones is a superstar now.
Yeah.
All
right. Really one match changed his life.
By the way, fuck Craig Jones.
Fuck Craig Jones. Close personal friend, Craig Jones. Let's talk 77 kilograms. I only see this as a 2-horse race. Everybody's telling me I need to make this a 3-horse race. But I feel like this is one of the most top heavyweights. They've been calling this the group of death.
I
don't see that.
I think it's
a very good weight.
I think it's a finals match, and then it's the competition, right? It's everyone fighting for third place.
I agree. So we have returning champion, JT Torres of Atos, coming back to defend
beast.
His crown.
Beast.
Total beast. Total dog. Lucas Lepre, 7-time world champion, 2-time ADCC silver.
Another beast.
Another absolute beast. Hanato Kanuto is around. Lachlan Giles is really good. Najmi, Wagner Hosha. Gary Tonnen is a super dark horse in this division. And I feel like after that, you really start to drop off, right?
Yeah.
Dante Leon's around. DJ Jackson's around. John Satava, maybe. Edwin Najmi, super, super tough out of Gracie Baja. But I really feel like this is a top heavyweight. I feel like you look at Lucas Lepre, you look at JT Torres, it's like, do I really expect a guy like, do I expect a guy like Wagner Hosha to take out Lucas Lepre? Not really.
Like I was saying, right? I think it's a 1-2-1. So my prediction is I got JT repeating.
I agree.
Then Lucas obviously taking second place. And then third, I don't know. Wagner looked good all year round until he got hit with JT. And JT just showed, what was it, Fight to Win? That the level.
Yeah, it's not
there's
happen.
Still a
yeah.
level between the two because JT kind of buzzsawed through them.
Yeah, they just fought a Fight to Win and it did not go well for Wagner at all. JT really just kind of controlled every position, really controlled the fight. Man, you got to feel a little bit for a guy like Lucas Lepre. He's so
Every year, he's so close. And the only thing he's missing is that ADCC title. He got flying arm locked by Davi Hamos.
Unbelievable. Maybe the best ADCC submission ever, right? It's up there.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, sex appeal, like, that's up there.
For flash highlight video finish.
In the finals against Lucas Lepre, like, doesn't get better.
And he had a good war with JT, and then I think what secured it was JT's just back-taking abilities. He takes everyone's back, so.
Yeah, he's one of those other guys that I have a personal preference for because, you know, spend some personal time with him, and he's, you know, yeah, you want to see him with that gold medal around his waist or around his neck, and, you know, you don't see it. And, you know, you really see, like, as you said, it's like a finals match. JT Torres is one of the only guys standing in his way. So, mm-hmm.
I love JT's style for ADCC.
Yep.
Good wrestling, super pressure, you know, very gritty, doesn't give away any amount of position, and just fucking stays after people like a dog on a bone. I love watching him in ADCC.
He's got a very good style.
He chases people down.
He's a dude.
Bukura, you're like one of, you know how like a bird, like when it first opens its eyes, whatever it sees, that's its mom now. That's Lakura with like jiu-jitsu fandom. Like whoever the first jiu-jitsu guy he meets in the division, that's who's gonna win the division.
I once picked up Lucas Lembry for a seminar.
And so, like, that's your guy forever, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nothing he's done on the mat. Just like, yeah, you guys went to a Starbucks together once.
he shook my hand once.
But, man, straight up, I think if Lucas wins, I think this is it. I think he could retire.
He could retire and just be happy, right? That's
he's, 30, I mean, he's won 34. World count, he's almost mastered too.
I mean, yeah. He's got a lot of academies. He doesn't have much
he's
to
doing
worry
just
about
fine.
In the
he's got a website.
Business, but, you know. His athletic accomplishments, whatever he wants to do, you know.
He's won every title there is after ADCC.
Yeah, just needs ADCC. Hinato Kanuto.
He's my probably favorite, most favorite grappler to watch right now. Yeah, he's so awesome. Fucking exciting to
very
watch.
Very exciting to watch. If everybody fought like Hinato, this sport would be...
Mainstream.
Yeah, mainstream.
He's just...
See, I say so that, but I actually don't believe that, because if you watch professional Muay Thai... It's like, oh my God, these two dudes just walk at each other like a buzzsaw. Like, it's the most exciting sport, but nobody watches
it. Nobody watches.
Nobody watches professional Muay Thai or professional kickboxing.
You think like, this is really awesome to watch, but then it's...
Yeah.
You got to realize it's just like wrestling, right? The people who watch wrestling are families of wrestlers or people that do wrestling, right?
Exactly.
So it's, I think it's one of those niche kind of sports.
And also Kanuto, he's jumping over people's guards, doing backflips, somersaults. You know,
he saw Davi Hamos and he was like, okay, got it. That's
like,
my plan forever.
Hold my beer, Davi.
Yeah.
Let's go.
He's quick as fuck. His wrestling is good, man. Guys who are that quick, he's going to be tough as a motherfucker to wrestle here.
His thing is he's got such explosive hips, it's so fucking hard to take him down.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's in the training room a lot with my boy Mateo, so they're doing a lot of grinding.
Didn't they fight? Oh, no, I'm thinking Kanuto versus Levi.
Yeah, they had a
really close match.
Kanuto has really good wrestling. You could see him in training footage I've seen. You know, his takedowns look pretty good.
Not to bring this back
to
66,
no,
but Kanuto, I saw him on Flow training with Mikey, and Mikey is someone that I wish...
Musumeci?
Yeah.
Man,
I think his game is so tailored to the gi, and he, like I was saying, specialized.
He's so tailored to the gi, so special.
Yeah, that, and maybe, you know, I get it.
He spent a few years working.
Yeah, but I think...
The leg lock is there, clearly. He won fucking 17 seconds in the world finals.
Yeah, he has that Kyo chair outside the league.
If you can get a straight ankle, you can get a heel hook. You're at least real close.
But anyways, yes, totally off topic that.
No, it's on topic. It's still ADCC.
I would have liked to have seen Mikey...
Mikey's so particular about his style and about who he trains with and how he trains. He doesn't train with anybody over 150 pounds.
Mikey?
He doesn't roll with them.
Really?
Yeah, won't do it. And so I
wouldn't have thought of that small.
I get it, though, because it's like
he's so careful.
Never going to be competing against guys. So it's like, why would he even not waste his time, but why get looks from people
or build
reaction that you? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's never going to see the reactions from the small guys that he would get from a big guy, right? Like the way I react is going to be different than the way Mike reacts.
Oh, totally.
So it's like I understand it. That sucks.
For reference,
Phil
is slightly bigger than 145 pounds.
Yeah, a little bit.
About 100 pounds.
Yeah, you're about two Mikeys.
Yeah.
You don't move like it, but you are. Somebody who I once drove in a car with, and so he's my favorite.
Yay.
Is Lachlan Giles. He just had he's a three-time ADCC trials champion. He hasn't really won a match at ADCC yet. But he's really technical. He's really smart. And he's been on a blast recently. He won that big Kinetic event. I know he didn't tap anybody that was like amazing. But I still feel like Lachlan is a guy who can make a deep run here. And who should at least, you know, get a strong first round win. for even a first round win here is so fucking hard to get. Because you look at this, it's like, man, who would you fight? You know, maybe you face a trials champion.
Yeah.
But like beating any of these guys is going to be just a
swimming in deep water, you know, with all these tough.
My two dark horses for this are Najmi and Tonin. Just because.
And let's talk Najmi a little bit.
Najmi can submit anybody with his Dars. If someone fucks up a takedown, even in the slightest, you're getting Darsed.
Yeah,
like,
man.
His setups
like,
are so sick.
He Darses everybody off that
everybody. Circle. And he uses it just as a shot shutdown. Like, it's not. Sometimes he doesn't even use it to finish, you know, as a submission.
No, it's a threat. You can't.
Exactly.
Like,
you have to like recognize it and react to it. Because if you don't, then night, night, bitch.
He's one of those guys in the gi. You got to watch out for those. Flying triangles.
I wonder if we have to watch out for the flying triangles here.
Yeah, watch him bring it back.
We might. He might.
Yo, that'd be dope.
So? Don't
that'd
be amazed.
That'd be dope.
Especially in those first 5 minutes where they're not scoring. Could be.
Yeah, when you're not sweaty.
Could be. Well, he's going to have to fight first or second round Servio Tullio.
And I've heard great things about him.
I know nothing about Servio.
So, okay. So, like, just seeing on the, like, Homolo's, what do they do? The ADCC vlogs? Like, I get it. They're teammates. They're probably hyping
him up. He's another Gracie Baja guy.
Yeah, but I've only heard good things about the guy, so.
We'll see. He won the trials, and the trials in South America is super, super tough.
Yeah.
But, you know, until you see the guy compete on this level, it's usually
you
better to kind of, like, bet against it. You know, it's like, eh, you know, how good are you if I haven't really seen you do it? But he's so fucking good. Yeah, Najmi is a guy, and I think he's really come into his own. He's way more physically mature. I feel like when he was a kid, he would get, like, kind
of... Yeah, he's kind of filled out more. Just
He's a man.
His strength's kicked in, and...
Let's talk Gary Tonin.
Fun fact, Edwin Najmi and I were in the same division in Purple Belt Worlds 2004.
No kidding. Yay. That's pretty cool. I should go back and look at who was in some of my divisions. I've fought around before.
2014.
Yeah, Gary Tonin is making a return. The Henzo Gracie
guy. Kind of short notice, too.
Kind of short notice. You have to wonder how much he's committing to this versus just, like, his grappling or his MMA training.
Yeah.
You know that guy stays ready.
No, he stays ready, and his MMA training is all grappling anyway. So, like...
I don't know, man. His strikes look good, so I'm sure he's put some time into it.
He just goes in and pulls guard and leg lock. I'm not saying it's a bad idea.
I've seen a couple of his few fights, and his striking is really
good. Yeah, he's definitely evolved.
I appreciate that. This is his, like, fourth ADCC, I think. He's 4-7, which is not the best ADCC record.
Legendary match with Crone.
Yeah, the legendary match with Crone. Nearly snapped his fucking arm in half.
One of the most talked about.
You're good.
ADCC.
That falls all the time. Oh, good shit. Last time he lost to JT Torres on a ref's decision in the semis. Last time around in 2017. That was a close match.
Yeah.
That was not the easiest decision for the referee.
He almost got bronze, too. He lost to Wagner.
Oh, yeah, Bagger beat him. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Speaking of Wagner from Polsha, I love that guy. That
dude, he's like came out of the woodwork these last like 4 or 5
since
years.
Since last ADCC,
He's been killing. He's an older guy, too. Like, he's
been doing one Kasai, fight to win.
Yeah. He's mean.
Submission.
He's like mean with his shit. He'll cover your face and
cover the face, hook, you know, right across the eyes if he needs to.
The standing wrist lock he hit on that kid at
Martin Held, the Bellator UFC guy, where he just like turned the wrist down.
You never want to like lace fingers with that guy because
no, which is really dangerous in this kind of rule set. I feel like Wagner is really well set up here. Man, him and Canuto would be a great match.
They've went against each other twice at Kasai.
Oh, have they?
Canuto has won both, and both have been very controversial.
There you go.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, I remember the one. That the case. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Canuto's got him twice, so he's going to have to get that back.
Yeah.
So, you know, those
Well, the best revenge is get the win back at ADCC. So.
That'd be a good.
Well put.
Yeah. It'd be nice to see them at ADCC.
Okay, we got Lepre, Torres, Canuto, Najmi, Wagner, Lachlan. Gary Tonin, DJ Jackson, best wrestling in the division, maybe, but he's so boring.
Yeah.
And the referees, honestly, not for nothing, maybe this is like not kosher to say, the referees are not going to want to give the decision to a really boring wrestler.
Like, they want excitement.
They want excitement. Like, if it's even, I feel like they'll go with a guy who knows
will risk it later on.
Exactly.
Matches, right? Like, they know what DJ's going to do.
And I have no inside information. This is just speculation.
No. Like, I definitely agree.
Dante Leon, explosive.
He's strong as fuck too.
He's watching some
of his like powerlifting videos. He's a strong motherfucker.
Yeah,
that guy's really
he's always competing. He'll medal once in a while, but I don't think he has the ceiling to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like he's consistent.
He's right
good.
There in like the tier two, tier three.
Exactly.
Guy.
He's just
like,
a tier two guy right now. But people, somebody's gonna break out. Who's it gonna be?
After seeing Craig do so well, and right, like I never heard of Craig Jones.
There's gonna be somebody. We're gonna be fucking sitting here like, oh. Matthias Gamrot of ATT, the European Trial Champ. Oh my God, he's so good. Also in this division, somebody we can pronounce would be a little nicer. Also here is Ross Nichols of Hodger Gracie, John Stava, who won the American Trials Championship. He can be hot or cold. He's got a really good butterfly guard. Oliver Taza, who actually might be out because of the pink
guy. I heard he's
in the middle of that. Chelsea Vinicius, Matthias Gamrot, and Servio Tullio are also in this division. For team matchups, Satava and Lepre are going to have to face off, so Satava is not going to make a run here, most likely. Gary Tonin and Oliver Taza are going to have to face off.
I think Tonin will take that.
Yeah, that's Gary. And then Edwin Najmi and Servio Tullio, which, man, I don't know Tullio. Let's see it.
I don't know. Najmi on paper is the better, you know, he has more accolades.
Najmi has not fought ADCC, right?
No, this is his debut. Yeah. There's a lot of first-timers this year. I think Hinato Kanuto's a first-time.
Hinato's a first-timer. Who's coming back in this division? So people with ADCC experience, because people who have experience do way, way better.
Lucas JT,
Laughlin.
Wagner.
Tonin. Anybody else? Maybe
DJ Jackson, I think, has been there two or three times.
I think that's it. Maybe Kelso Vinicius.
Yeah, a lot of rookie breakout years. A lot
of rookie guys.
It's a really tough division, 277.
Okay, let's talk about 88. I feel like everybody from the outside looking in kind of feels like 88 might be the weakest.
I wouldn't say it's weak. I think it's just that there's no definite winner. Like, I wouldn't go in and be like,
there's no
JT,
right?
Yeah. There's no JT in the division.
There's no boogeyman.
Talk about weak. I would not want to stand across the mat from Matheus Diniz.
Or
Josh Hinger's got that eye shit, doesn't he?
No, I think that was a while ago.
He's okay now. No, he had it. And they were using it as an example of here's what it is. So let's talk about title contenders. I see it as a four-horse race. I see the four horsemen as Gabriel Argus, Matheus Diniz, Josh Hinger, Craig Jones. Full disclosure, I know Craig. I like Craig. I'm picking Craig.
Well, bias as a side.
Which is also like, like a crazy call. Yeah. Thankfully, we're not friends with any like horrible like
hopefully we only hang out with the highest level.
Yeah, I'm not here like, man, guys, John Blank, Ben Dyson, these guys got it. Like, you know. I feel like it's Craig's year.
Who did Gabriel Arge compete against at Kasai where he looked really good in Nogi? Because I haven't watched much. I don't know that
Dante?
Against Dante Leon, I think.
Yeah, it was, right?
Or but he looked really recently. Good. Like, he went to all of his positions. He was really good, even from 50-50.
But do you remember Craig smoked Argus?
When was that?
They faced off in, like, one of those Polaris cards or something.
He
took his back and had the choke set a half second.
Yeah. Oh,
I mean, like, it was a fight for sure, but
yeah.
Craig passed straight to the back and took him out.
Yeah.
And so
I didn't know that. I didn't know they faced off already. So, yeah, my favorites are obviously Craig Jones, Josh Hinger, and then that.
Let's talk about the title contenders in order. Let's start with Craig. He was the breakout. We've mentioned him a ton of times already because he's kind of becoming synonymous with ADCC 2017.
Yeah.
Maybe the best leg locker in the game, most technical leg locker in the game. If you take Gordon out, he definitely is.
Yeah.
Wrestling's a huge liability, but his back attacks are also super elite. He chokes a ton of guys from the back. His passing is really getting elite. Wrestling is a huge liability. He's huge for the weight. He's still way over. He is a big boy.
So the funny thing about him, though.
He's still, like, for 88 kilos, he's still, like, 95.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's a little less right now. Yesterday he was 95.
I saw that, too, on his story. But he was on the podcast with Keenan and Josh, and, like, they broke down his wins.
It's like 15, 16 pounds.
He either wins by submission or he loses.
Yeah.
He doesn't win any decisions. He doesn't win a point. So he's, you know, he's got to submit his way.
He does not play the
points game is haven't been in his favor yet so far. So
he is, yeah, he, man, he's training with the Donaher guys now. But yeah, his strategy is all based around the submission, which is admirable and what you should be doing. But I just feel like without that wrestling, you can't manage the match.
Yeah, because he had a really boring match with Matheus Lutz, right? Lutz from Marcelo Garcia. It was rather boring. And he had a
horrible match with Paul Harris, too.
Because, I mean, you know, it's probably hard to move Paul Harris from bottom. So, like,
imagine it's like you can give him like a parking ticket.
Like,
move one of those caterpillars.
You know, so I don't blame Craig as much for not, you know, quote, not opening up. But, you know, it was a boring match. So he kind of got stuck on bottom there. And then the Matheus Lutz.
Yeah, but, like, you don't think a guy like Diniz can do. Like, a guy like Diniz might be able to do that to him, too.
That's true. Well, he's already beat him. Matheus beat him recently.
Yeah, and he beat him in a weird rule set that was very ADCC-like, where it was all wrestling-based.
Yeah.
So I love Craig. I think Craig's got it. He's always been the kind of guy, he can beat everyone.
But can he string together?
Exactly.
Which is my thing with Mateus Denise, too, because he's in
it's
super
that,
fight.
Everybody here.
Yeah, everybody here can, you know,
everybody
if they
here
go on
like
the run of their
field,
life, they can
yeah.
win. They've all, you know, bring him in a super fight, roll the dice, they can, you know,
beat
they
anyone.
Win.
The
exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say about our guy, Mauro Santana. You know,
yeah.
he's not a big name on this list, but you know, you got to give the guy credit. He's a veteran of the sport.
He's got probably more experience than everybody.
Yeah.
I mean,
isn't he the only? He might be the only AD guy here who's medaled at ADCC yet.
Yeah, and I mean, he's lost
yeah.
against Marcelo Garcia and Andre Galvao in matches. So, like, you know, the guy has fought everybody. So, you know, it really could be his day, and you know, he could go on.
Or you know, who else's day?
Or he could play spoiler to somebody else.
Yeah,
yeah.
Shut down someone's run pretty quick.
Yeah.
Or my dark horse, Rustam Chiziev, can go and just wrestle fuck everybody.
Oh, I hope not. That would be a nightmare
I don't
to
think
watch.
He's been in like 5 or 6 ADCCs, and I don't think he's ever been taken down.
That sounds about right. That sounds like
I don't think he's ever been taken down.
He's not
That's
even
a
like
pretty crazy stat.
That is unbelievable,
yeah.
right? Yeah. But he's a fucking bear. How are you going to take him down? I wouldn't even know how to begin to approach
because
that.
Because the person that beat him in 2017 was Zhangji, which he's not in
he
here.
Tapped, he jumped close guard.
He got close guard,
the guard
and they hit him with an arm.
Well, he also, Rustam, I was looking it up, lost an MMA fight this year by triangle.
Oh, really?
So he's like given up a cut. Like maybe he's not at the top of his game, but maybe he is.
I don't know.
And at the same time,
probably just wasn't.
He's
I mean,
done like 5 or 6 ADCCs.
Yeah.
No medal.
Yeah, no medal. That's true.
People have always been able to figure out a way to beat Rustam, but yeah. I know one of the guys, let's call him Greg Bones, was definitely very worried about Rustam.
Yeah.
Was definitely really game planning around
Rustam. I don't think anyone wants to
Rustam.
Get on that side of the bracket, first round, second round.
No, that would be a nightmare draw. Because it's going to be hard.
No, no matter what, he's hard.
Yeah, it's going to take so much out of you. So that's Craig. Let's talk, Mateus. The Marcelo guy, Kasai champ, world bronze medal this year, finally got over the hump and beat Hulk Barboza, who's kind of been his kryptonite.
Kind of rivals. Well, I wouldn't even say rival.
They've gone back.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's mostly always.
But
Mateus.
He just hits the brick wall that's.
It's mostly always Barboza. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's strong as fuck. He's got good wrestling. He's got great defense. That's what it is. He's always in a close match because nobody can fucking score on him.
Yeah. He's a tough guy.
You know what I mean?
He's had a couple good matches with Hinger already, too.
Yeah.
And Hinger just tried to fucking flying arm lock him and laying out his neck.
Retard.
Yeah,
I get it. He just wanted to seal the show with an excitement.
Yeah, you got to do something exciting.
Yeah.
A big show. But, you know, Mateus, he's one of those guys, you know, I feel I wouldn't want to say anything about his mentality, but, you know, I feel like sometimes some matches he
he's
could
hot
push,
and cold, right?
Yes. He could push
he's
a little bit
like
harder
Grippo,
and,
in that sense.
And win a match that,
yes.
you know, that
also
he might be losing.
Also.
You know, and I don't like to sit back and say, you know, he could have won this match, but, you know, there have definitely been times where I felt like, you know, if he had just done a little bit more, he definitely could have gotten his hand raised when he did.
He is somebody who has been in, there's like a thing in football. I know you guys also don't watch football, but apparently they have a like little mathematical sheet that says like, if the score is this, with this much time, you're this likely to win. Right.
Oh, so it's all just statistically
statistical analysis. Like, okay, you're up by 2 touchdowns with a minute left. You've won. Right.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. If you were to take that for like, okay, you take Hulk Barboza's back with the choke set and, you know, you get your points. You're at like 95% to win the match.
Yeah.
Right. And then he's still Hulk Barboza gets out and then finds that 5% to immediately take his back. I mean, that's a legendary match at this point. And so Denise might be the guy who walks away winning it. I think he's got a really strong style for ADCC. But man, if he just ends up losing a match like 2-0, I wouldn't be amazed.
He's definitely my pick for to get the gold medal in this division. I like the guy. He's a nice guy. Sorry about Greg Bones.
Greg Bones.
But yeah, I really like Mateus Denise.
I have to say it that way because I'm a blood. Gabriel Argent.
Nobody
Gracie
knows
Baja.
Who you're talking about.
No, way. Yeah. 3-time world champion Gabriel Argus returned to the top of the podium this year. I don't like his ADC style at all.
No,
in Nogi, he got wrecked by Craig.
Yeah, see,
he did not do great against
Craig. That's pretty
eye-opening. Yeah, you should check out the fight. It's on Fight Pass.
I'll watch.
He's mostly a gi fighter, and what really makes me nervous is how much he relies on the 50-50.
Yeah, and that's not a good position when you're dealing with Craig.
No, oh my God. Can you imagine? Even like a guy like Hinger or something. I just think he's so small for the division.
You get a little complacent, your heel pops out.
Yeah, and then suddenly you're picking your leg up.
Yeah.
But, you know, Gabriel Arges is so much smaller than a guy like Mateus Denise.
Yeah.
Which is weird because Arges actually beat Denise this year, I think in the gi.
Did he?
Yeah. And, you know, but he's way smaller than a guy like Hanger. Who is he going to take down in this division?
I don't know.
You know, we haven't seen it. And so I feel like Gabriel Arges could do really well and may end up being the guy.
That kind of not sleeps on, but the guy that kind of does
the guy that establishes himself. Yeah, he could have a really establishing run here as that guy. But I feel like he's one of those guys who just needs a round of ADCC to get used to it.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Yeah,
I think he's prime one of those. Josh Hanger might be this guy.
I think so too. I think that his wrestling is probably the best, other than Rustam. And his
best useful wrestling.
Best useful wrestling. And then he's actually active, and you know, he's like, that's my thing with Rustam is like, he'll get you in half guard and not do anything.
Game
so
over.
Like, that's the only thing I wish with ADCC is they had more stalling calls or just be more aggressive with it. Not that it has to be like wrestling, because I know it takes time to submit somebody, but you know, just show some activity. You can't just,
no, but we know what fighting looks
no,
like.
Absolutely. And like, definitely. He can't just be on his hands and knees and that be considered activity, right? Like, I get that.
Referees are too slow, and it's easy to shit on a referee, right?
Yeah.
But they're so slow to be like, okay, he's playing the game. I have to let him. I have to be fair to him right now. It's like, no, you fucking know he's stalling 2 seconds into him doing
especially
this.
Especially on top fucking of half guard. Like, yeah, how much time do you need to actually,
to do anything, you know? By the way,
discretion of referee.
It is. I hate that referees do in the IBJJF, and I think it should end. And obviously, this is like a total tangent.
As a certified IBJJF referee, let me hear your complaint.
I hate when IBJJF referees, when there's no activity on the feet, and they'll bring the guys to the center and penalize both guys because it doesn't change the match.
No, there's no need for aggression
from
either of the competitor.
It's why freestyle wrestling or Greco-Roman wrestling is better. Usually freestyle is way better about this because the way they have it, there's always a tiebreaker going on. And so someone is always winning and someone is always losing.
Yes,
it's
someone
never
obligated to attack.
Exactly.
If no one, like, you know, they could just, what happened to Levi? I remember, like, they got 3 disadvantages and neither one feels obligated. Like, there's
penalties
way,
to call them disadvantages.
Oh,
it's very.
Penalties, I'm sorry.
Disadvantages. I'm going to start using that. I'm stealing that.
There's no resilience in here.
Yeah, you got 3 penalties and, you know.
He just kept doing it because the other guy also has 3 penalties.
Exactly. So it's like, yeah, let's let this guy take the L, you know.
Yeah.
But.
No, you
he
need
rolled
to
the
always,
dice and fucked up.
And even if it's like, oh, well, we just hit one of you, it's like, well, man, but we don't hit the other guy. It's like, well, he was doing as much as me. It's like, but you were still doing nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you don't want your stalling called, then you should have done something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I hate that when referees do that because it's like, man, you just realize we're just going to see more of that.
Yeah, it's just a fast path to DQing both.
Josh Hanger, really good wrestling, really good guillotine, really good darts.
I really like his style.
I really like his style, too. And he's one of those guys that I look at him and I'm like, man, you know, he didn't figure it out till he was in his 30s. Maybe there's still time for me. Like, he's out there doing it for the Masters competitors.
Yeah, that being said, I think this is going to be his last year, maybe. Potentially,
yeah.
I think this is either going to be...
If he doesn't get it this year, he's not going to get it better.
He's, what, 38? Like, unless he's like Cyborg, where you're showing up at ADCC 40 years old. I don't know, man.
Bombing out of your fucking skull.
Yeah, you just...
PRT.
Yeah.
If he's not already
if
on.
If he's not on.
Which, by the way, for whatever drug testing we want to... Or for whatever, like, drug... performance enhancing we want to talk about. No one here is going to fail their drug test.
There's no drug testing to be had. So
yeah.
Who gives a shit?
Who gives a shit?
I don't give a shit. Awesome.
Oh, man. Unchokeable next. But yeah, Josh is never going to see a bracket better than this at a tournament this prestigious.
Yeah.
Right? So if he can't get this one, it's rough sled.
And it sucks. Like, and to bring it up, like you said, there's no standout huge winner, you know, because everybody who podiumed last year is gone.
Yeah, crazy. Right? A lot
gone.
Of them have gone up.
Keenan
and this was the group of death.
His freaking pink guy, you know, he's out. And he moved up.
He was up, anyway.
He was up. And then Janji got surgery on his wrist. So, you know, big open division. Should be fun to watch.
Some dark horses that we can just throw out here real quick. Gabriel Almeida of Checkmat. He has a win over Hulk Barboza. He's so tough. He was a really good colored belt that hasn't quite broken through a black belt yet, but he's so tough. He fought Denise to a really, really razor thin referee's decision at Nogi Worlds last year, first round. Really, really, that guy could break out.
That's a rough first round.
I know. But, you know, he doesn't have any credentials.
No, I understand.
Oh, no, to get Mateus.
Yeah,
that's a rough draw. But you kind of like, at the same time, it's like, man, if I was a black belt, if I just got my black belt, it's like, man, put me in there with one of these amazing guys. Because if I lose, okay, well, it's my first fucking match at black belt.
Yeah.
But man, think of all the risk versus reward. There's no risk and it's only reward.
Yeah.
Like you can walk in. Yeah, exactly. If you walk in and beat this guy,
you're a superstar.
You're immediately on the map.
You're the next Craig Jones.
Yeah, exactly.
Shit kicked out of you.
Nobody was paying attention anyway. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's facing somebody.
You're just the next sacrificial lamb.
Like, yeah, exactly. Nobody even is going to, you know. Pedro Mourinho, Gracie Baja is a tough brown belt. He was a Nogi Pan champ. Mike Perez is tough. Adam Wardzinski beat Leandro Lowe this year. He doesn't have a lot of Nogi experience, but I think he could be a guy.
Yeah, his butterfly guard is – I like his butterfly guard really good, a lot in Gi, but I don't – you know, I haven't – there's not much footage on him on Nogi.
He hasn't done a lot.
So I haven't – you know, I don't see how it transfers over – into Nogi as well, because like he doesn't really attack leg locks as much, right? Mm-hmm. He's not very so like his butterfly guard, unless he starts using,
he has a toe hold that'll pop out once in a while.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone's gonna tap to it. Maybe these bigger guys will tap to toe holds, but like you don't see that ever.
Not as
like
much, right? Yeah.
Meows will watch her foot go in a circle before.
But that's different, right? See, that's on the other end of the spectrum.
That's what I'm saying.
Where it's like a little crazy.
A lot of the big guys, you know, Luis Panza has a freaking killer toe hold.
Yeah, he does. I love Luis Panza's game. I'll just run through the rest of the list. Alec Ball, stop me at any of these you want to talk about. Alec Balding, John Blanc, Rustam, we mentioned a little bit. Your dark horse. I feel like I missed somebody else. No. Valdir Arujo, BB Monster. I know they're supposed to say Baby Monster, but fucking spell it right and I'll say it right. Mason Fowler, Ben Dyson, Keller, Locke Sodi, who is the Oceania Trials champion. And then Murillo is also here. Anything on Murillo?
I think he's just, I think...
He's a veteran, right?
He's a tough to medal. He'll make it to like the I could see him make it to like the semis, but he's not in the same category that I would give him as like Craig Jones. Just because he's getting older,
right?
Is he going to be Jeshinger? I don't know. I like, you know, his game is sick. His pressure passing is sick.
Maybe 2 years ago with the same division he has today.
Yeah.
But
not Craig
even
Jones.
Then, Craig, yeah. How's he going to get through Craig?
That's true. I mean,
he must have been in 2017 when Craig beat Lee, when the brackets came out. Murillo had to be sitting there like, oh man, Leandro second round. Oh man, Leandro second round.
Oh man.
In post, I'll make this as low as possible. Yeah. This podcast is heavily posted. And so.
I did not know that.
No, it's not. No. I'm literally taking it and uploading it immediately. So, but he had to be looking at the bracket like, fuck, I got Leandro second round, you know, Poha, Carvalho. And then Craig Jones comes in and beats him. And when that happens to you at a tournament where
really
it's like,
goes,
I'm definitely going to see this guy, and then that guy gets upset, it's like, is this the best thing or the worst thing? You know?
Yeah, I think it eases the pain a little bit.
Is it like, is this guy having an – how good is this new guy? You know what I mean?
It's like, well, that guy's out of the way, but who the fuck?
Who the fuck got him out of the way? Yeah.
Who's Craig Jones?
Oh, man. Let's talk team conflicts. Alec Balding and Mateus Denise are going to have to face off, which is rough for Alec, unfortunately.
Yeah, I got Denise winning that one.
From Czech, man, you have Wardzinski and Gabriel Almeida. That's a super interesting matchup.
I would give it to Almeida. Just
saying. And by the way, these are not guaranteed, obviously. These are probably going to be second-round matchups. People lose.
He loves it. I love the drama.
Well, I'm saying one of these guys might lose first round.
Yes.
But they will, if both of them win, they will face off second round. Mike Perez and Josh Hinger.
I give it to Hinger.
Perez is tough, though, right?
Perez is tough, but I think his strength in ADCC is his wrestling, and good luck with Hinger.
That's such a tough thing about like going out to ADCC. Let's say you're training, and you know you always lose in the room to this guy. And you're going out to ADCC, it's like, man, you know, it's hard to have confidence that you can win the whole thing when it's like, man, I'm probably going to lose in the second round.
Definitely.
You know,
to a guy that
I'm fucking rooming with.
and then
you got to go see the guy the next day.
Yeah. You're literally getting dinner. You have to go back in the room and shit. Like, yeah. Gabriel Argus and Pedro Mourinho are also going to face off. So I feel like, except for the Wardzinski Almeida one, like those are all pretty defined.
Yeah.
Nothing too crazy there. Man, let's talk about 99. This might be the money division. It's certainly a division everybody's going to watch, right?
This is the ADCC
title. I will delete Keenan off of my... No, that's when... you know what the BMF title should be? We should give it to Canuto. And then just like, he's the champ. And like, and he can put that belt up whenever he needs to. You know what I mean? Like when he faces like Wagner or somebody.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, let's put the BMF
Wagner's
belt
definitely
up.
One of the...
Najmi would be a BMF kind of guy. Like there's guys. Let me take Keenan out of my fucking notes.
Oh,
Keenan is out. He has his eye pussies are all fucked up. And so
you know how there's Gladiator MRSA? Let's just call this Gladiator Pink Eye.
It's Gladiator Pink Eye, right?
I've still been trying to update my my account to see if anybody else has been dropped out.
Man, I have the tweet notifications. Yeah, somebody from 99 is.
If it's fucking Gordon, dude, ugh.
That would suck. But then, right now, but we're to be honest,
if Gordon does have to get pulled out for medical reasons, then I think it even opens up the division even more. Right.
Yeah, so let's start with Gordon. 2017 Abu Dhabi champion, absolute silver. Everybody knows this guy, right? World absolute no-gi champion. He goes down with a knee injury to Hocha.
Yep, January. In January, right?
In January, early February maybe, somewhere around there. Since then, he has had one competition back. He faced two or three guys that really weren't on that level.
We were like MMA and hobbyist guys.
Yeah, like, they just like, it was literally like if like he showed up. It was like, hey, Gordon, you know. And he wants to win this division. He wants double gold. He already knows the fucking Instagram post he's going to fucking put out there, I bet, when he wins. Like, he already has his trash talk plan.
Yeah. Yes,
and this is all about getting that double gold. He is here to be the king.
Yeah. Exactly.
He feels like he failed in 2017 in a huge way.
He was so close, man. And he lost to the person that probably stings the most to him. Mm-hmm. Fucking Banner. Yeah. 2-0. Like, he's got to hear that shit on Instagram every day.
Well, because it's just such an easy, like, all he has to do is post a photo of him eating Gordon. And there's nothing you can say.
No.
Because Gordon's made everything about wins and losses.
Yep.
It's not about respect. It's about on the mat. Okay. Here's a photo of me beating you on the mat. Like,
really,
it's a rough position to be in. So he really wants that rematch so badly. And
fun fact, I competed against Gordon Ryan.
You competed against Gordon Ryan.
He kicked my ass.
I said that to somebody one day in the locker room at our gym. I was like, you know, Todd fought Gordon Ryan. They were like, oh, who won? Who do you think?
Who's the ABC's?
Just start the rumor that you won. Just spread it around.
Literally, what I said to him was like, "Have you heard Todd brag about beating Gordon?"
Yeah. You should put that shit in your bio.
Yeah.
If it was true, like if you beat Gordon, absolutely, last person to beat Gordon Ryan, you know.
No, who's that one guy? There's like an American leg locker who beat Gordon. He's the last American to beat Gordon. Man, he's not even like at ADCC this year. But he's kind of a known guy. Like, he did some EBIs. Jamie, I'm going
even
in.
Even if somebody beat Gordon Ryan.
He's far beyond that now.
It doesn't matter.
The only name that beat Gordon
Ryan. They beat him at the trials in 2015. Because really he didn't win it, but he lost in the 2015 trials. He tried to.
Trials to compete on ADCC 2015?
Yeah, the North American trials. He tried out and he didn't make it. Okay. He lost there. And then at the 2017 trials.
He went against Leander Lowe and lost.
But that was a super fight.
No, he was going to do the trials, but last minute got replaced.
Yeah, and he basically got an invite anyway.
No. I know. But I'm just saying, like, he was originally going to go in and do the trials, but I forget. I think he was supposed to go against Braulio Estima.
Yeah, there's somebody
Braulio that ended up getting pulled out last minute, and Gordon was there a day out. I was like, fuck it.
Which is awesome. Against Leandro. Gordon will fight everybody. Yeah. You know, for as much as he's, you know.
He's the person that shows up to everything, no matter what.
He shows up and he fights people, and he'll take on anybody. He's doing a ton of super fights.
Yeah. We fought at some hole-in-the-wall tournament or competition, PGL.
Well, there's talk that he might come back and start doing those again, like Nagas and shit. Just to posterize people.
I still want a rematch, man.
I would love to compete against Gordon Ryan. What I mean? Like, I don't like my chances.
You're gonna get slaughtered,
but I would like to do it.
Yes,
you know, that's part of jiu-jitsu. Like, man, let me fucking get out there and fucking roll with these guys. those movies still hold up so well.
So who else? King Ryan, who's gonna
and everybody knows this game. Ryan. He's got the passing now. His wrestling still kind of sucks. It's not great.
Well, especially with the knee injury, I think
he's been trying to get better at it. It's way better than it was, but it's still not there.
You know, the second he touches, he's going to sit down.
Yeah.
You know, but who in the division is going to dethrone King Ryan?
I think his biggest competition is Vinny.
Man. Oh, Vinny, man. Maybe it's Vinny pulling out. Vinny pulls out a lot of shit.
He does. But he looks fucking shredded.
Oh, yeah.
All natural roll shredded.
All natural.
He's fucking shredded. So I don't know if there's an injury, because if there was an injury, he probably wouldn't be that jacked. But
true.
Who knows? I don't know. I think after seeing Lucas at the Grand Prix, he gassed hard and fast. And
he did.
Only...
Let's talk about Lucas, then we'll talk about Vinny.
Okay.
Hulk Barboza of Atos. Yeah, 2018 World Absolute Champion. He's won the World Absolute No-Gi. It's his ADCC debut. And yeah, he fought in the heavyweight Grand Prix, and he needed a fucking... Some people need an oxygen mask. He needed an oxygen tent.
Yeah.
He was rough stuff, man. They thought they were going to have to fucking do surgery on
that muscle.
It was literally like Kimbo versus Dada 5000, where like it turned out later
if
that they both
die,
had heart attacks
man.
In the cage.
Yes. So
they
were
so out of shape.
I think for Lucas, too, I think he belongs in 88, but he's also, I think Hinger is the senior student at Atos, so they kind of was like, all right, Lucas, you know, take the back seat on this one. This might be Josh's only appearance at ADCC, so
yeah,
the future is definitely yours, right? So I think Barboza has definitely put on as much muscle as he can within the time limit to just try to get up as big as he can to compete with these guys at 99. And I think
he's not as big.
He's at least compared to these guys, right?
And then he has to use all that energy to fight with these
people. And he's his game is very explosive. And all that muscle, man, it's just more oxygen.
At the same time, who here is going to muscle around Hulk?
Nope.
Not Vinny. Not Gaudio, really. I mean,
Gaudio could. I think if anybody, he's the only person that has the horsepower.
But Lucas has beaten Gaudio.
Yeah, he has.
So, and I mean, who else? Jackson Souza? No. Tex Johnson just pulls guard, so it doesn't matter. Maybe like a Felipe Andrew would be a bad style.
Yeah.
That's a big guy.
Well, bro, what about Dylan Danis?
Yeah, Dylan Danis. Speaking of fucking undersized.
Why are we talking about that guy?
The most searched fighter on BJJ Heroes. Did you know that? He's the number one.
I would have him or like AJ.
You think so, right? Yeah, because it's the MMA thing, right? You get into MMA
from a hero.
AJ's in like the background of every fucking Nate Diaz picture. So.
Todd's so proud of himself for that hero crack. He's so red right now. He's dying. So, man, it's his ADCC debut, but he's the main training partner of Andre Galvao. He's kind of the Andre Galvao, like,
light.
Like disciple,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, he's Diet Galvao.
Yeah. So I don't know what I expect from him this first year.
Yeah,
and I think if he goes, 2021, I think he should probably go back down to 88.
I agree, man. He fought Denise at Worlds and lost.
Yeah.
Odd wrestling. Like, this isn't a great thing for him. Vinny, talk about bad wrestling, But Vinny's an ADCC champ from 2011. His guard is unbelievable. His submissions are so good. His back takes are incredible.
Almost impossible to submit. He'll let his fucking arm just snap and dislocate. And
he says it's flexibility, but no. He's also just really okay with that.
Yeah.
Like, he was just
Verdum had him in that arm lock, and it was nasty.
Yeah, Verdum had the arm lock. Gordon had some deep leg attacks. He beat Gordon in a really weird match.
Weird rules, and I don't think either of them knew what the rules were going in. Because, one said it was IBJJF, one said it was ADCC. I don't know what was going on. I think it was ACB. I don't know what.
Some weird thing. Yeah, it was like ACB. So he does have the confidence of a win over Gordon. He can definitely play spoiler.
But he's pretty hot and cold.
He loses to no names, man.
Yeah.
It was like earlier with fucking somebody else was like this. Gianni has lost to some weird guys, but man, you'll have peak wins and then you'll lose to guys that I can't even look up. Like, I'll go to look these guys up, and there's nothing out there. They may as well be a made-up name.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's like backup B-level brown belts. Vinny will get, smoked by. So he's just another guy where it's like, man, where's the consistency? I think it's his lifestyle. I think if he doesn't give a shit, it's a very different fight for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think he's one of the people, we were actually having a conversation with Fernando earlier. He's got kids. He's got other stuff. Outside of just jiu-jitsu, right? He trains MMA. Like, he's, he fights in PFL.
Yeah.
To the finals.
He gets fucking... Thankfully, people here are not allowed to chin Vinny and knock him out in the first round.
Yeah.
Because he's got a bad fucking habit of that.
So I think maybe some of the losses
could be
given to the fact that he's got so much other shit going on, right?
He's still concussed from half those fucking fights. Vinny, if I could give you some professional advice, stop getting knocked out.
Easier said than done.
That used to be on one of the UFC video games, in between rounds, it would give you advice. And it only had a couple pieces, right? It was always just pretty formulaic stuff. It was like a magic eight ball. Like, there's only so many answers.
Yeah.
And one of them was stop taking damage to the head. It's like, got it.
Thanks, coach. Good talk.
Patrick Gaudio, who has had some big wins before, broke the fuck out of Hamla Bahal's leg.
Oh, that was so
disgusting. That was so bad, right?
Yeah.
GFT guy, strong, athletic, actually really technical.
He
pushes a really high pace. He's a guy who I think could have a breakout performance here. The next two guys we're going to talk about, I both think that.
I definitely agree. Gaudio, he's strong as a fucking bull. He had a really good match with Gordon at Nogi Worlds.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Could
have beat him. Was winning late.
It was 4-4, and then Gordon got a good advantage at the end.
Okay, but when you add the heel hook, what is
no,
it?
No. I
but
do,
also,
I
Gordon pulled a lot.
He did pull.
So it's
But still, like, to even give Gordon a really solid competitive match is a big deal,
for sure.
But yeah, like you said, the threat of leg locks or heel hooks in general, or specifically, rather.
But that guy is coming in so hungry this weekend.
Yeah, I cannot wait. For sure.
Trator, late replacement.
Just beat Keenan.
Just beat Keenan, baby. Looking really good. No Gi Pan champ, world bronze this year, headbutted the fuck out of Leandro Lowe. Gave him the business with a big headbutt.
Which at first I was like, eh, I think IBJJF is like looking out for their boy Leandro.
No, but you after go back seeing and look at it, no, like, he earned
damn.
That.
Yeah, I was like, damn, he did headbutt the fuck out
he
of
He gave him that Zinedine Zidane love. Gave him a little kiss there. He's been training out of Marcellus for this camp. And man, this guy is just stubborn. Does not, you know how I said earlier with Augusto Mendez, like if all these guys lock down in half guard, who's going to be the toughest to move? That's Trator. That guy is not moving if he doesn't want to. He is so tough. I think he is somebody who could have a great performance. He beat Panza at the heavyweight Grand Prix.
He did.
He's had a really couple good showings. I think he's somebody who could go really, really deep here. He is a late notice replacement, but he's always in shape and he's looked really good recently.
You always also have to keep in mind his name is Vinicius.
Vinicius.
You know, that's a very badass name.
It's pretty good. It's all right.
Putting it out there.
No, let's just rank the names.
Vinicius, you know,
I think is Jackson Souza the toughest guy with the first name Jackson?
Holy
because God. How often do we get kids coming to the kids class where it's like, this is my sons Jackson and Braden and Caden and Waden?
Yes.
It's a lot. There's a lot in this area.
That old George Carlin joke. Yeah, but yeah. Sick of Todd, guy's name Todd. Jackson Souza is tough as shit. I had a roll with him. Yeah, I got completely smashed. Definitely. Toughest person in the world named Jax.
He just, I mean, he got bronze last ADCC too, so.
True. He knows what it takes.
Yeah.
Good wrestling, world no-gi champion in the past.
But
man, I feel like the fire's like, in those moments where it's like, you need to be intense right now, whoever's the most intense right now wins, Jackson has trouble with those moments, right? He's very even.
Is that who went against Tim Spriggs for the finals of Worlds? Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's constantly always there, man. Like,
he's part of the. One of the best teams in jiu-jitsu right now is Checkmat. So.
Checkmat's been crushing. Let's talk about Tim. Tim Spriggs, TLI, brought him up a couple times.
I think he's in the same boat as Lucas. I think he's too small.
Man, he's definitely too small. He's like 200. You know, well, I'll see Tim around. Tim's 205.
Yeah.
On a big day.
And I think the last like, year or so he's cut down, so he might even be 195, 190 now.
I believe he's very lean right now.
Yeah.
You know, you get, so he's so undersized. He has good wrestling, and the TLI guys do have strategy usually, like, you know, countering the guard pull, and like, he's not going to beat himself, but I don't know if he has the ceiling, and if I don't, he definitely doesn't have the leg locks. I've seen him get eaten up with some leg locks before. Fucking Craig killed
with
him.
Americana Kimura.
Yeah, he Kimura'd him Kimura'd on the arm and popped his UCL on his elbow.
Yeah, he fucked his arm up.
Real bad. And then, so, but that's Craig's whole game is attack the arms. So the arms pull back, opens the legs up.
Yeah, like I was saying with Nicky Ryan, like he's really good at chaining the upper body to the lower body together.
Yeah. So, Tim, maybe, but like so too small. Especially,
I just think he's too small.
Look at this next guy, these next couple guys, way huge. Fucking Tex Johnson is a monster for this weight class.
He's riding, he's coming in off that win off Felipe Pena.
Yeah, and all of the
snapped
things that
shit up.
Snapped his shit up. He has had a weird year. So he's the North American Trials champ at 99 plus, right?
Yep.
Great heel hook game. He always, within the first 40 seconds of every match, he's in on a deep submission attempt.
Yep.
Every single time. And in that way, he's actually one of the most exciting fighters in jiu-jitsu, but he's super inconsistent, and he literally will lose a match by 50 points.
Sometimes. I think
Keenan
that
beat him by like 300 points.
Yeah.
Keenan's still scoring points.
But I think Texas thing
the
is like
still
it was unbelievable. It got so bad in the first like 30 seconds, the commentators for that fight, because it was just some super fight. They started like scoring the points. And after like 30 seconds, the commentators were like, oh, maybe this is actually supposed to be just submission only. Because that's a lot of points to go up that fast. They were like, that's an insurmountable amount of points, and we're about 15 seconds in. So maybe it's just submission only.
Whereas we were talking about Tim being a good strategist. I don't think Tex plays the rules. I think he just wants a submission no matter what.
Yeah,
whereas Tex was at
straight up
TLI here for at least part of his camp. So maybe they're working on the strategy part of his game. Right, like they're like, look.
I think you should join TLI. I think it's a great fit for a couple of reasons.
I think you could improve their leg lock game because
absolutely
outside
the same
of
way
maybe
that, like,
Jamil
Cummings
Hill
did
for Unity.
For Unity.
Yeah. Yeah, I could definitely see that being a fit, right? Yeah, maybe he went up there and was like, look, I'll teach your leg lock game, teach your guys some leg locks, and if you guys just help me come up with a better strategy, because, you know, he ends up losing just because he maybe is too submissive.
Here's the problem. So I'm basically retarded, right? I guess it'll be Alex Jones. I mean, he's, you know, I want to know who he's going to register under. Is he still going to be a solo guy? Because he's registered solo a couple of times as a Hibero guy.
Yeah.
They kicked him out. He's not allowed back at the Hibero schools, I'm pretty sure.
I don't know. The only place I've ever seen him train.
It doesn't take much of an email for solo to...
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, for solo especially. Yeah.
Hey, he's not my competitor.
Hey, please stop registering him. Yeah. We'll see what it is. He did beat Felipe Pena this year, which might be the submission of the year. Wrecked his shit.
Yeah, dude. Felipe turned into that shit and went snap, crack, and pop.
That was real bad. Felipe Andrew, 2019 Pan Champ, beat Muhammad Ali in the finals. Great footlock, but we've never really seen him no-gi. But his straight ankle lock is like Botinha lock, as they call it, is elite. He fucks everybody's legs up with that. Every time he fights a guy, they leave limping. And his triangle choke is also really good.
Damn.
Yeah, every time he's done with a guy, they always leave limping, but happy.
Well, that's a good sell for Nogi. He's from Zenith, so he trains a lot with Kabaka and
Robert Drysdale.
Yeah, Robert Drysdale.
Robert Drysdale.
He has a really good camp. I really like Felipe Andrew. I'm a Felipe Andrew guy. Dylan Danis, he is way undersized. He's the most undersized I've ever seen. Since like a Marcelo.
Yeah. So
he may as well be an absolute.
The thing
right?
about him is like, his internet persona, he comes across as such a douchebag, but he's actually got good jiu-jitsu.
He's got
not
he's
like
legit,
if
right?
you look up his win-loss on BJJ Horrible. Heroes, it does him no justice. But he had a really close match with Gordon. And Gordon now is coming out and being like, look, he stalled. He kind of just disengaged. Still,
that's
you know,
not what I saw.
No,
that's not
I
what
agree.
I saw. I just saw a tough
Dylan's
fight.
Really good. He just, too bad his internet persona definitely takes over versus his skill.
A lot of guys will say he's stalling on me when what they mean is, well, he's not doing the exact move
yeah.
that I want him to do
yeah.
that sets up my exact counter. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a fight. So Dylan, man, yeah, I just think he's too small.
Too small.
He could make it into the second round, but I don't think he's going to be able to make the semis for sure.
I don't give this guy any respect at all. So
fair enough.
Fair enough. I respect
don't
the
have anything nice to say about the team.
Hey,
I totally understand. Also in this division, Ben Hodgkinson, who's from the Craig Jones gym, by the way. So okay. Let's watch out. Paul Ardia, Mraz Advan, Paulo Jose Baranya, and Pertu Tepanen.
I'd like to take a note about Mraz Advan, that there are no notes about that guy. So
Mraz Avdoyan.
Let's see.
I couldn't find anything. I think he won the European trials.
For
one
me,
of the European trials.
I'm rooting for that guy to make it out of the first round. Just to.
That's the guy that they're going to like give Gordon.
Exactly. I want to see that guy if he makes it out of the first round.
It's a win, right?
Yeah.
If guys that we're not really talking about, if you pick up any win,
yes.
You're a superstar now because you probably had to beat
you're
somebody amazingly
buster.
Tough. Yeah. Team conflicts, Trattor and Baranya are going to have to face off. Is
very
there
minimal.
Any,
There's not
is
much.
There anything else? Not really, right?
No. Really? There's no other, yeah. So you don't have to worry about the second round.
If Tex, and he won't, if Tex registers as TLI, him and Tim Spriggs, which would actually be a great matchup for Tim, or for no Tex. Tex would wreck.
Oh,
yeah.
The leg locks. I just think the leg locks are such an equalizer here.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the ability not just to leg lock, but to like back take off of leg lock attempts from your opponent,
yeah,
counter them and use them and use them to flow through your game instead of just staying there, right? We've talked about that, like guys who can leg lock versus guys who can leg lock as part of everything else, yeah. right? And you're so much better when you can leg lock as part of everything else. Now let's talk about plus 99.
The big boys.
The big boys.
My division.
No weight limit. Yeah, I feel like I guess I would be at 77 kilo. Todd, you would probably be 77 kilo, right? Like 170 something pounds.
I would cut.
You get down to the 66?
I would cut 66.
Hell yeah. Let's talk about these guys. Bushesha, Cyborg, Kanon. JG Hoja is out, so I got to take him out.
Have they named a replacement for him?
Yeah, Hudson Taylor. My
friend.
That's
right. That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Your buddy.
Yeah, my buddy Hudson.
Maryland.
University of Maryland turned stand up. And Hudson's a great guy. I'm so excited for him. Man, late notice is tough, but having the best wrestling division is
I was going to say, I think his wrestling is going to be a big deal for him.
Actually, he's a bad matchup for this next guy, Orlando Sanchez. Yuri Samoyes is here. Muhammad Ali. Victor Hugo. Nicky Rod
is
here. This is a stacked ass weight class. Antonio Brago Neto is a world champion. Fucking Max Jimenez is super tough and has beat Kanan, Muhammad Ali, and Tex. Jared Dopp is a silver medalist here. This is a good ass division.
And there's another guy in the division that Joe, you and I have been in the same room with.
Oh, wait. Who is that? Shut the fuck up.
Taylor.
Oh, yeah. Hudson. Yeah. My boy. I also, I do know Nicky Rod a little.
And I have trained with Jared Dopp.
And you've trained with Jared Dopp.
He is a monster. So.
Yeah, he's really cool. I really hope Jared does really well.
Yeah. So now you guys know our three for the division.
Yeah, there you go. Did we make picks for some of these? Did we make picks at 99?
No,
let's make our picks for 99.
Okay, go ahead.
I mean, I think Gordon. Yeah. I think Gordon's the guy,
King
right?
Ryan.
King Ryan.
Do you want to do podium?
Yeah, let's do podium. Let's do give me podium.
Just
did we do podium for these last couple of weeks?
No, we haven't.
Shit, let's just do the
whole
picks.
You
want to
do that at the very
end? Yeah. Fuck that. Because we already missed
it. All right, so we'll just talk about the people at 99 first. Yeah. All right.
Okay. Almeida, Bushesha. Let's
clear
talk
favorite.
About it.
I think he's number one.
Man, he's got to be the number one favorite. 13-time world champion, 2-time ADCC champion. But all he's thinking about is the absolute, and I wouldn't be surprised if he does not compete the second day.
No?
If he does the first day.
I think it would be smart.
Makes the semis. Because the way his division is set up, especially as the last one, the heaviest one, the absolute starts like an hour and a half after he's done with the finals.
So say he goes against
Orlando.
Good fucking luck. You're going to be wrecked no matter what you win or you lose that. Like,
That's exactly what happened to him last time in 2017. He had to face Orlando Sanchez in the finals. It was a half hour. It was a grueling just like hand fight with a fucking 300-pound gorilla.
Yeah.
And then suddenly an hour – within 3 hours, you're fighting Felipe Pena and you've had two more matches. In the middle. Man, that's exhausting.
Yeah.
Versus you could just hang out and just, you know, you
come
have
in fresh.
Your first two matches are probably going to be relatively simple, you know, pretty much easier. And then you can just turn it around and the next day be fresh for the absolute. Sounds way easier.
Or is that the mindset that he's coming in with? You know, does
could
he want
be.
To be double champ or does he want to be absolute champ?
I think he wants to be the
absolute I think he
champ.
Wants that absolute title more than anything. Because he's already got the 99.
See.
He's,
what more does that do for his career when he's already, you know, like...
Yeah, he's got the 13th. Somebody like Gordon, I think, needs the double gold.
I think so, too. Yeah.
But Bushesha, I feel like, just wants the, like...
Yeah,
exactly.
Versus Bushesha, you know, everyone knows. I mean, just D-games.
Yeah.
He
doesn't have much left.
Oh, number two, he didn't get double gold. Motherfucker, I've taken double gold at Worlds 6 times.
Yeah. And I gifted it to a friend.
I
gave it to Leander because, you know, hey, what's one more?
Yeah, he's literally, like, have you ever seen, like, in a, like, movie where they're in a casino, a rich guy just throwing $1,000 chip at somebody? It's like that.
Sure.
Like, hey, man, here's a fucking world title kid.
Yeah.
Plays fucking Mean Joe Green. So.
Thanks, Mean Joe.
So could he do. Thanks, Bushesha. That's low. could he do it? Yeah, absolutely, for sure. Is he going to. Man. By the way, no Leandro Lo here.
No Leandro Lo.
Huh? Unfortunate.
Yeah. Well,
not at this weight class, just in general.
I think he's been injury plagued these last 2 years.
I think he's passed his peak.
Kind of slowing down a little bit, right? Yeah, I mean,
Leandro.
He lost to Adam, and he lost to Merrick Holly the last couple of times.
He's still coming back from that shoulder injury. He hasn't been the same.
That's what I'm saying. He's been kind of injury played the last 2 years.
So,
I think his jiu-jitsu was really good, like, from 2012 to 2014, but then, you know, he got really big, and then his style kind of stagnated. But anyway, we're talking about people that are competing this
weekend. Bushesha, super
Cyborg.
Mobile, super strong, can do it all. Cyborg, man. Just
the 40-year-old killer.
Just won the heavyweight Grand Prix over a bunch of murderers. His wrestling is so good. He's won the absolute title here. He's won an ADCC championship before. He has a great style for ADCC. Unfortunately, he's a little behind in the leg lock game.
He is. He got caught by Gordon
like
two minutes in. So his game is... very stagnant then explosive. Stagnant, like, right? He knows when to open up and try to score his points. So he's very strategic.
Gordon spanked him like 2 or 3 times now.
Yeah, but Nogi Worlds.
There's one clip. Where
got
Gordon,
clubbed to death for a win.
Yeah. One clip that comes to mind where Gordon has him in a heel hook and he's holding Gordon's wrist. And the second Gordon breaks his wrist grip, he just taps because he knows.
It's done.
As soon as the
palms came together, he was already out of there. Yeah.
Exactly.
So, man, as long as he doesn't see a really good leg locker, he's a really difficult guy in this division for any of them.
Yeah.
I don't think there's that many leg lockers in here. There's no
like amazing. Victor Hugo has great leg locks.
Does he?
He has really good leg locks. He, in the brown belt heavyweight, or in the brown belt absolute final this year at Worlds, he broke the other guy's foot with a toe hold.
That's pretty good.
He's very legit, at least with the toe hold in the gi. Man, let's talk about Kanon.
I think his only downfall here is he's small.
He's small, right? For plus 99.
I mean, this guy only downfall like is like, say he goes against Orlando, good luck fucking taking out the 300 plus guy. I've heard he's like 340, so like, good luck, dude.
Man.
I don't know. Has Orlando ever been taken down in the history of ADCC?
Not that I know of.
Can't take that guy down?
No, somebody took him down. Didn't Bushesha end up taking him down?
He had his back, but I don't know how he took his back.
How can you take somebody down who is as wide as they are tall?
He's like, literally. He's like as big as his table.
Yeah.
It's a big table.
When he goes to shop for pants, what does he tell them for a waistline? Is he just like, just bring me something that would fit a ceiling fan? Like, I'm sure that'll be fine. Kanon, 2019 world champion this year, although that is now in jeopardy.
If rumors are true,
the rumor is allegedly that Kanon possibly failed his drug test or didn't show up or just something's going on there. Which, by that USADA rule, means he could be looking at as much as 4 years.
Dude, 4 years. You know, it's not career ruining. He's so young.
It would ruin his career.
You think so?
It wouldn't end his career, but it would ruin
his
career.
Oh, yeah.
At least his professional grappling.
Yeah. But, I mean, we've never seen an Atos guy do MMA. You know.
Galvao.
But, I mean, okay, we've never seen an Atos guy do MMA really well.
Be a superstar. Yeah.
Didn't he fight Woodley?
Yeah.
Yeah, he got fucking knocked the fuck out. Which, by the way, also happened to Robbie Lawler, but still. Man, Kanon, we're looking at possibly the biggest, like, on the upswing. Beats this guy. Pan champ. World champ. Beats Leandro Lowe. Four years on the shelf.
And then Leandro gets a title.
And then Leandro, thankfully, clean on athlete Leandro Lowe gets another world championship.
The lightweight to heavyweight world
champion. The lightweight goat.
Asterisk.
So yeah, he's for sure undersized. Orlando, oversized for the division, in my opinion, actually.
I think he's just so,
I think his mobility is going to crush.
Dude, I don't know. When he passed, or like almost got close to passing Tom DeBlasigard, big boy can move.
Okay.
He's got some hips.
But like, Tom DeBlasigard is not like, you know. Tom also lost to Bruno Bastos. So, you know, he's a little...
Yeah, but how much went down in that match? Like, I can't...
That's what I'm saying.
You can't rate his whole game based on, like...
1 foot sweep.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I'm not going to give Tom a hard time when not much happened in the match. Like, they both just sat in hat guard. Like,
that's fair.
But
that's
fair. I understand what you're saying. But I'm just saying, like...
You know, Tom is so tough, but, like, which of these guys would Tom beat? Is Tom beating a Muhammad Ali? Probably not in 2019. Is he beating a Kanon Duarte? Probably not in 2019. He's a tough guy, but,
man... But like you said, he's getting older.
He's getting older. Orlando is getting a little older, too. He's a 2015 ADCC champ. He took silver last time. He's boring as fuck. He's so hard to beat.
It's just so hard to get.
I think his mobility, now that he's so big, is going to be a detriment. And I think we're going to walk away... And he might not do as well as he did in 2017. I think that's a real... If I had to bet money, we wouldn't see Orlando in the finals.
Getting like the Kyle Snyder effect where
exactly.
He's just ballooning up so much.
Just like, man, you don't have... You know, you should do some jiu-jitsu.
You're not explosive anymore. Yeah. You just... Yeah.
That guy... I respect that guy a lot. He's been through a lot in his life. And man, he's
been through a lot of buffet lines in his life.
A lot of
buffet lines in his life, too.
Also cocaine lines too.
Yeah, he had a bad drug, you know.
So
did he really?
He's overcome a lot, like you said.
So yeah, it's really cool to see that guy competing just because, you know, all the stuff that
could have been dead. You know, he could be
dead.
Yeah, he could be dead.
We've seen it. Fucking what's his name? Hal Gracie. Or that was the guy, right? Yeah.
No, I mean, Hal was the guy.
The list goes on and on, right? Jiu-jitsu guys who've been tortured. Yes.
Jiu-jitsu competitors that are so successful that they are now in the grave. But
it happens, man. There's guys at this tournament, I'm sure, that are on all kinds of, you know, not every drug is performance enhancing. Yuri Samoyes.
Dude, he gets slept on. Like, his career is so good. You know, he's had his losses to some big
guys. He's a two-time ADCC champ.
That's what I'm saying. He gets no love. Like, Flo shows him not much. Like, they don't give him the kind of credit. Like,
World Nogi absolute champ. I mean, this guy is elite. I agree.
The fact that he's won in two different weight classes, like, that's insane. His wrestling has gotten pretty good, too.
He could win a third. He could win this weight class.
But the fact that he called out Kyle Snyder, let's pump the brakes.
No, for sure. Yeah. Man, I am so glad that you are a talented blue belt.
Yeah.
Do not call out the black belts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, okay.
There's a level.
You saw Kyle lose a match. at the World Championships to an Olympic champion.
To these Russian guys who have been doing it since they were 6 years old.
Yeah.
It's just different.
It's a different type of grappling.
Like, you know, it's like being insane if, like, Kyle Snyder would be like, yeah, but I could just choke you. Like, it'd be stay in your sport.
It's
you're good. We know you're
peak,
good.
I wish a motherfucker would.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The internet is full of people who are constantly wishing that motherfuckers would.
Yeah.
And that's a great example about, like,
the thing about this world is that we can actually kind of make that setup happen.
Well, that's what I was going to say. There's people offering to have it happen.
Well, it's like, man, just go to Ohio State and just, like, ask to wrestle. You probably could. Yeah. Like, no,
I mean, shit, AJ gets in the ring somehow.
Yeah. What?
I mean, AJ gets in the ring somehow. So.
Yeah. I found out AJ Agazarm portrays himself as, like, a, like, 10-time jiu-jitsu champion. One of the wrestlers that I worked with was like, oh, yeah, is he, like, he must be a really big deal. I was like, no. He's loud. He made ADCC finals once, but, like, you know, but he's like, oh, you know, he's telling us about all his, like, world championships and stuff. And I was like, well, then he needs to tell us about all his world championships and stuff because I don't know about them if that's what he's saying.
Oh,
but does it surprise you?
Maybe he's 10-time champion of jiu-jitsu, but not, like, the world.
Yeah, exactly. Go get in the Austin Open. It's great whenever you see. Sometimes as a competitor, I'll see, like, oh, this guy did really well at the Portland Open. And it's like, oh, I'm way better than him. I should go to the Portland Open.
Yes. I've been the guy at the BC Open.
You're beating all the hipsters out there.
Yeah, literally.
I've seen him win a bunch of other Opens. I just got to go do Open.
Yeah, it's like, man, shit, I should fucking hit this
Master
up. So Yuri's wrestling is super good. His top game is elite. He is a huge threat at this division. He's also huge right now.
Maybe a tad small. I think he's kind of forcing some weight on, but against some of these big guys.
He's having no trouble with his diet, I'll tell you that. Fucking peaked up.
Yeah. Muhammad.
Speaking of, Muhammad Ali is also
dude, my boy. He's like 250, like 6% body fat.
He's a Mr.
Shredded himself.
Dude, that guy's head just goes straight into his body. There's no name.
He's like a ninja turtle.
Dude, he's probably the most athletic guy in all of jiu-jitsu.
I would say so, yeah. If you needed a guy to, like, go into, like, fucking Cirque du Soleil or some weird
dude,
shit.
Dude, this guy
learned
football, he'd probably be in it.
I saw that guy just hopping around.
He might still be able to.
Yeah.
This guy was hopping around just to warm up. He was hopping higher than I could jump. His hop was, like, higher than my vertical.
Man, can you imagine, like, yeah, just go fight Muhammad. Like, that's
dude,
your draw.
Who are you telling? He's in my fucking division.
Yeah.
Who are you telling?
Okay, like, man.
Welcome to Jackass.
Yeah. Oh, and he just, like, and we'll see it at local stuff sometimes. Like, he'll just bitch people,
yeah.
Right?
Dude, he loves
imagine Muhammad Ali is jumping at you,
yeah,
like midair, and you're sitting there, and just this fucking meteor of a man is crashing down to earth on top of you.
It reminds me of Ricardo Arona back in the day. You know, he's like a tiger.
But he's definitely a guy that I have my eye on. I think Muhammad is a really nice guy.
Well, he's a really nice guy. You know, another one of those TLI guys. Like, maybe we don't like the team and the name and what they stand for, but a few guys.
He's a freak. Yeah.
Since there's no leg lockers, I think that's his biggest saving grace.
I
think he'll maybe potentially even get to the podium because there's no leg lockers, and I think he could blast double some motherfuckers.
I agree, man. He's going to be, man, the wrestling is going to be real tough for everybody else. He's got wins over Leandro Lowe. Like, he's clearly not afraid to go out there and beat the biggest names. He won Worlds. He beat Marigali and Leandro Lowe back to back.
Yeah.
That's about as good as it gets.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't get more elite than that. Vic Hugo is in this.
Brown belt coming up to black belt.
What's his black belt like debut, really?
Yeah. He did okay in the Grand Prix, but he also took that very short notice.
Yeah.
He just got...
I don't think he'll medal.
First round.
Yeah, that sounds right.
That's a rough draw.
So he got his black belt?
Yeah.
Congrats.
Because he got what? He won brown belt
everything.
And then...
Everything.
Yeah.
Name the brown belt tournament.
No, he won it. He double golded at World.
He double golded everywhere. Yeah, he's one of the best brown belt careers ever that year. Nicky Rod, blue belt. But moves like a panther.
Yeah, dude,
right?
He's fucking explosive too.
Super, super explosive, super athletic. Has some good things, like his back attacks are good. But man, mostly just wrestling and real just tough.
Yeah,
doesn't really stop. Tough. That's what it is. Like you go against those white belts where it's like, man, this white belt just doesn't fucking stop moving. Now imagine if that guy had a peak level athleticism and a decent wrestling base.
Yeah,
impossible. You know what I mean? And it's all no-gi.
Yeah, wait till you see some of these big name black belts, they can't do something to him and they start to get frustrated. He's really strong. Really, really interested interesting to see how he does against.
I say give Abdulaziz like 4 years, and I think he could be.
Man, I don't even know if he'll be around in 4 years, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, I think it could be the kind of thing. Because I know he
wants to do WWE, I saw.
He applied to WWE, but I don't think he was really that into it. And they actually said no because he didn't know any of the moves. It's the kind of thing, like, he's not afraid to, like, go do other stuff, right?
No.
You know,
like, he might not have a tart in it.
Like, not MMA or something, but just, like, yeah, if somebody came around and was like, hey, you want to be in some movies, he'd be like, yeah, totally. You know, that kind of stuff.
That's what I'm thinking.
So it's not like
Dale is trying to be an actor, you know. Dale is
some, like, C-level.
Versus, like, Muhammad. yeah, literally. Versus if you were to go, like, Muhammad Ali, like, Muhammad Ali is going to fight. You know what I mean? Yuri is going to fight. Versus Nikki. I'll need to see a little bit more.
He doesn't need jiu-jitsu to put food on his table.
But he can win some really tough matches here, so we'll see. Who else is in this? Max Jimenez, who apparently opened up a gym around here. He's
really
teaching around here now.
I know.
I'm sure you'll be dropping in soon.
Heavyweight.
Yeah, he's beating Kanan. He beat Muhammad Ali. He beat Tex, but he doesn't have any titles or any, like, he's never put it together. So he's a guy who it's like, you know, he's super late notice. I would like for him to do well, but I don't know. Jared Dott, super tough wrestler.
Yeah, so he has like a college football background. He's really athletic too. He's probably number two to Muhammad Ali. Pure athleticism size, not just explosive, but
if we were to do like a
combine. Yeah, exactly. He would put the numbers up. He'd do well. He trains probably twice a week. He's like some PhD scientist. Yeah, so he's a bookworm guy.
And he got silver medalist.
Silver medalist. He had to go against Orlando Orlando in 2015.
Wow. He's reached the semis 3 times. It's crazy. Yeah.
I got to get a roll with him, man. It was fun. Like, he didn't smush the shit out of me, like, with his physical strength, but he's, you know, his technique is really good. It's pretty eye-opening.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
Also in the division, Eldar Rafagiev, who actually is really, like, that guy competes all the time, and his leg locks are really good.
Yeah.
If you don't want to get leg locked, Eldar might be the guy to watch out for. Elliot Marshall, UFC veteran, super late replacement for Ponza. Nice guy. Could do some work. John Hansen, Mateus something.
I wouldn't want to get tapped out by this guy Eldar or Mateus just because, you know, people be like,
I think it's Juskowicz. Juskowicz is what I'm going
with. There's no team conflicts in this.
There's no team conflicts, which is nice. So
a very exciting division.
Let's go down again for the picks. Podiums, just general one,
just
twos, and
brackets,
threes. Because we don't have brackets, so just who you think the top three guys coming in, and it could be in no particular order. So we kind of said for 66, I think Paulo Miau, I think Cobrinha Jr., and I think Mateus Gabriel are my top three.
Okay.
And I feel like we all kind of were hovering around there, right?
Yeah, I would say Mateus, Paulo, and Gianni Grippo.
Okay. What do you feel?
I will go with Paulo, Jamil Hill, and Gianni.
Dig it. 77, I feel like everybody's got to pick the same, two. Lepre and Torres, but who's that third guy sneaking in?
I got Canuto.
Hearing Canuto? What are you hearing?
I mean, I definitely want to see Gary Tone, so I'm going to say Gary Tone.
Man, I'm going to pick a flyer. I'm going to go Edwin. I think Najmi might do it.
I can see that.
I like Edwin Najmi. I think Gracie Baja always comes super correct to big tournaments. I like Edwin Najmi to be in my top three. 88, Greg Brones. So I like Craig. I like Josh. And I like Mateus, which is not like a hot take, obviously. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go Craig as one. And then I'm going to go Josh in the second place and Mateus in the third. Man, I just like – and keep in mind, these guys have to make weight like 3 days in a row, basically.
That's insane, yeah.
That's kind of where I'm just feeling on the top three. What do you guys think?
Go ahead, Tom.
What do you got?
I'll pick the same. Mateus, Josh,
in that order.
And Craig Jones.
If you had to order them, roughly.
I don't want to put
give,
it in order.
Do you want to give them one? Like who you think might win it?
Craig Jones.
Okay.
All right. By the way, fuck Craig Jones.
Fuck Craig
Jones. So I got Craig Jones as one. I got Mateus Denise as two. And I got Josh Hangers.
Man, it could be any of them, though, right? You do that 100 times, you get a different winner. You know, 33,
that's
33, 33. 99. I'll go for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I think Gordon. I think Hulk. And I think if I'm going to pick in this third spot, Gaudio. Those are my three.
Go ahead, Todd.
I would pick
Brown Belt.
King Ryan.
King Ryan.
Hulk And
it's tough to pick Vinny, right?
See, I got Vinny. I'll
pick Vinny just to say Vinny, but yeah, I'll pick Vinny.
Okay.
I got Gordon, Vinny, and Gaudio.
Okay. Ooh, leaving Hulk off for those.
I think the gas.
It's hard not to see that, right?
I just think
the last time we saw that guy, he
did not look good at Grand Prix.
Yeah,
like he was on, he was hand on the knees,
full on brake mode. And then let's talk plus 99. I already gave my little hot take that I think Boucher is going to pull out. So when I don't pick him, that's why. But for my top three, I think Yuri is the guy. Actually, if I were to break this down, I think Yuri. I think Cyborg, and I think is my third one. I'm going to go Orlando, but I don't love it. I really feel like his mobility is going to be way lower. I wouldn't be surprised if I could pick a fourth, actually, Muhammad.
Okay.
It's kind of like 1A, 1B, or 3A, 3B.
This is actually the hardest for me.
It's really hard, right?
I thought 66 was going to give me a hard time. This is the hardest one.
Yeah, 66 was kind of easy, right?
Yeah.
What do you think, Phil?
We'll go into the assumption that Boucher pulls out. If he doesn't, I got him as number one. But I got...
Let's talk contenders. Who can actually win this bracket? So it doesn't have to be just three guys. Boucher can win it. Cyborg. Yuri.
Yep.
Orlando.
I think Muhammad actually has a big chance because there's no leg lockers. His biggest hole in his game so far has been leg lockers. And like the guy that beats him in the gi is Marigali, which, I mean, Marigali's a standout gi guy where he's constantly attacking. But that's not available here because really you can't chain Delahiva stuff too.
No, I feel like Muhammad, especially Muhammad at this 250, like this new like ultimate Muhammad. Super Saiyan Muhammad would wreck Marigali.
Oh, yeah.
I do not like Marigali's game.
I wonder what his gas tank is going to be like, though.
But who's pushing the pace except for Hudson, maybe?
Yeah.
Hudson's a bad style matchup for a lot of
I think Hudson could, I mean, if Hudson took out Orlando, he's doing 99 division or 99 plus a big favor.
Yes, 100%. Right. No, people will like be buying him flowers.
All right, so I'll just commit to top three.
Let's get our top
three. I'll go Cyborg, Yuri, and Muhammad.
I'll do Bushesha, Cyborg, and Orlando Sanchez.
Okay. You want to talk super fight? We're not talking the women. I don't know them well enough to talk.
I was going
to
just...
I think Beatriz and
I think
Gabby.
Bia and Gabby.
Yeah.
Definitely Bia and Gabby. Gabby is... It's notable that Gabby is setting a record. She's going to... If she wins, she sets a record for most ADCC female titles. So
That's super cool. Man, it's crazy. You know, you talk about ADCC records, and when you combine the men's and women's and look at it that way, for something women's needs is the super fight title.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know why they don't
have it. I don't know why they don't have a super fight.
Yeah, they should.
They should.
Because not for nothing, it would also kind of pull Gabby out of the, like, plus 60. First of all, they need more weight classes, clearly.
Yeah.
Second, they need a super fight. Because, man, it's just Gabby against these girls who are 150, 160 pounds.
Yeah.
Man, they're not the same size. I'm not learning about their jiu-jitsu.
That is a big thing. Like, pulling Gabby out of there would definitely make it a more competitive division.
100%.
Because, like, no one, like, I don't care about plus 60. I don't care about plus 60. You know, no disrespect. Like, Adolfo's sister, Anna Carolina, she's a freak, but she's just so undersized compared to her.
Yeah.
They should get Henry Cejudo to fight Gabby Garcia for the ABCC.
Gabby would win. I really feel like Gabby would win that fight.
Yeah. Natalia?
Yeah, Natalia. Yeah, whatever.
She's good too. She beat Gabby and Gi in a fight to win.
You think they should get a sacrificial lamb for Gabby just so they could open up?
Not a sacrificial lamb, but you're an ABCC champ.
Just let her be.
Fucking Gabby fight at the end of this. Let's say Gabby wins. Okay, she's the super fight champion.
Yeah.
And then now she just has to defend it kind of once every single time. She's getting a little older anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, she's getting towards the back end of her career.
Grandma's in MMA.
Like, you know, fucking, I'm sure she wouldn't hate it. She literally does.
Yes.
Yeah. That's not an exaggeration.
Make your money, girl.
I saw a video that said Gabby Garcia was, you know, 10 or 15 years after her time, you know. If she fought in Pride era.
Oh, she'd be perfect. Oh, man. Yeah. I thought you meant after the grandma's time. I was like, yeah, no shit.
She fought Pride era.
Man, right? Pride would make her a star, super right? Star. She's like Bob Sapp, but skilled.
All right,
Super fight. Let's talk super fight.
Super fight.
I got Galvao
versus Penna. So, everybody, if you're listening to this and you've listened to this far, you fucking know who Andre Galvao is and you know who Felipe Penna is.
Who?
Yeah, exactly, right? I'm sure this is nobody's introduction. So it's just styles. Felipe doesn't have a good wrestling style, but he has a killer no-gi guard. He actually might have, he might have the best no-gi guard. You know what I mean? But Galvao is so good at this rule set. And he's so good with his wrestling, and he's so fundamental and baseline.
He's perfected the ADCC boring style. Yeah, right? He's got enough to be just active enough to where he's never going to get, like, warning for stalling. His wrestling is good enough to take down everybody. His top game, you know, he's shit. He takes everyone's back once he gets down.
Galvao is a name that comes to my mind when I think of ADCC.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, that's the competitor that you see.
He's already set the record. Now he's trying to break his own record, right?
So, yeah.
So the guy, he's what an awesome guy.
Felipe, if he wins, best career ADCC ever.
Best career ADCC ever, I agree. I would have to look at some of the others because a guy like Marcelo.
Marcelo has won four. They weren't consecutive. So he's won four overall. It was 3, 5, 9, and 11.
Yeah, that's right.
So
was it 11?
Yes.
No, Kron won that year.
That was 13.
That was 13. You're right. That was in China. Yeah, I mean, we'll see what it is. We can figure out the legacies later.
Regardless, you know, he's one or two.
Yeah. He's top of the pops.
Ooh, breaking news. Dylan Danis is out of ADCC.
That was the 99 guy. Damn, that totally affects my picks. Yeah. Totally. Do they have a replacement in there? Do they name a replacement? Thank you, Jamie.
Dude, poor Mo Jassim, man.
This is man. Stressful. What a nightmare.
It doesn't say anything about...
You can cut to 99. Let's do it. Yeah. All right. So Dylan Danis is out. There's a little bit of breaking news for everybody. Do we have anything else on ADCC? Pretty straightforward, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Not really.
Maybe we'll get back together and do one of these another time. Yeah, guys.
Maybe do, we do Worlds, maybe?
Yeah, we can do Worlds. Maybe
we could do a post-ADCC.
We could do a post-ADCC, a little quick one, yeah. So this one ended up being about 100 minutes, which I feel like is a good enough time. Thanks, everybody, for listening. You can subscribe to the show. We usually don't talk jiu-jitsu, but we're going to start doing that more often. Thanks, Todd. Thanks, Phil. I'll see you guys later.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.